Yeah. Seth MacFarlane and Alex Borstein. Big Ted. Gonna need a paper towel. Just dump some coffee on the console here. Thanks, buddy. Also, I'm gonna need a forehead dab, too. I'm like a surgeon behind the microphone. You know you've arrived when someone is wicking the sweat away from you. Whatever it is, you're good at what you do. I don't care if you're cutting diamonds or taking an appendix out. When somebody comes around with a cotton swab and actually dabs your forehead because your hands are too busy and too important to do it yourself, you know you've arrived.
Or you're a quadriplegic.
Or you're quad. Yeah, good point. Okay, I'm just kidding about the forehead. Yeah, the other thing, we always talk about my list of things I'd like to do, you know, getting my hands registered in some municipality, being thrown out of a casino for winning too much, diving into a body of water, perhaps a river in the Amazon with a knife in my mouth. One of the things I'd like to do before my days are done is have a cape removed from me. That's my thing. I hit the stage. I do that, hey, glad to be here. I hear Cleveland knows how to rock. A few words. And then my squire comes out and removes my cape. We don't talk about it, mind you. I don't even make any reference to it. I don't even look at the guy or thank him. It's just, he's the cape remover. It's clear that he has no other job. He doesn't come out with some paperwork, put it down, remove the cape, pick the paperwork back up. He's not, you okay there, Chick? He's not my personal assistant or my gardener or my maid. And my cape remover, he just removes the cape.
Also a sign that you've arrived, that yes. You can afford to have someone on the payroll whose sole job it is to take the cape off.
I like the cape. Someone ought to bring the cape back. And not, you know, the cape got a bad rap, I think, with the superhero stuff, because it got all glossy and red, and people started, you know, putting logos and things on it. But I'm talking about the black cape with the red lining. That one where...
Vampires?
Yeah. And it was also good when you said good day. It meant you were gone because you'd whip the cape around. I said good day. Big whip. Big cape whip. You could either disappear at that point if you're really good or just storm off. But either way, the cape. And when you threw it all the way behind your shoulders, it meant you mean business. That's how you know. Also, someone hold my top hat. And then the cape goes behind the shoulders.
Oh, you're going to have some sort of a duel. Yeah.
There's going to be trouble.
You're going to throw a glove in someone's face.
Yes, yes, yeah. Also, the removal of the gloves. That also meant there's going to be trouble.
Not enough male accoutrements in society anymore.
I know. There was a time when people wore a top hat or cape or had canes or spats or gloves. There were just things you would do. And it was a nice way to let the world... It probably avoided many, many a fight because... Back in the day, it was like, good sir, your words will be eaten and eaten promptly and in good time and good. And you'd be removing your gloves and telling your second to hold your top hat, removing the cape. And somewhere in that time period, cooler heads would prevail. Let me buy you a libation. Okay, good sir. And then that would happen. Now everyone's wearing a wife beater and underpants and they're immediately just lunging at people.
Ripping the wife beater off.
They're just diving. The guys are shirtless and they're wearing cutoff sweats and flip flops and they're just diving on each other on the lawn. There's no announcement of a fight. There's nothing. There used to be a little something called Marcus of Queensberry. And I don't even know who that was. And I'm not even sure. There couldn't be no gayer name for a guy who made boxing rules than Marcus of Queensberry. But
maybe you should just start carrying around your own bell. So that when you know you want to get into a fight, you just ding the bell and then you go and you attack.
Hey, I gave you ample warning.
Yeah. You heard the bell.
Yeah. Or at least bring back the top hats. You could throw something in the air to celebrate or tip it when a beautiful lady came by. Hmm. Or also the comic foil, too, like where the guy gets his top hat run over and then puts it back on and it's like an accordion. Yeah. I don't know why you have to put your ruined clothing back on, but you have to put it back
on.
My feeling is if I have a piece of clothing, an article, and it gets run over or gets thrown through a wheat thresher or something, I don't attempt to put it back on. I'll just go ahead and set that down. I may not even bring it home if it gets put through like a rock tumbler or a crusher or a pulverizer. I'd probably just go ahead and leave it there. I don't actually put it back on. Okay. So lots of stuff to talk about today, lots of stuff to do. I was mentioning that Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy and Alex Borstein from The Family Guy She does the voice of Lois. She does the voice of Trisha Takanawa, the Asian reporter. He does, of course, Peter Griffin. He does Stewie. He does Quagmire. He does Brian the dog.
He does
every voice.
We should have him read Star Jones with Quagmire.
He could do Quagmire. He could do it as Stewie. He's awesome. He does them. He does them right before your eyes. And it's amazing. And he not only, you know, does the voices for the show and sort of conceived the show, but he was an illustrator at Hanna-Barbera as well. So he drew the initially, I mean, now there's, you know, 11-year-old Asian kids who are, you know, duct taped to workbenches who do it all. But he drew the prototype to the Stewie and the Lois and everything and all the voices and created the whole thing while he was over at Hanna-Barbera. So and does great, and a great musician, I hear, does all the musical stuff as well.
Isn't he like 22?
He's 14. Yeah. Now he's a young man. He makes you sick.
I don't like prodigies.
I don't either.
A great success.
Yes. Is that him?
No.
No, he's just successful. I got it. Who was that, by the way, Mike? Do you know?
Ali G.
Oh. I miss him.
Do you want me to just stick it in there?
That's him.
That's him. Andy Dick, speaking of sticking it in there, is going to be in, not a prodigy, but smarter than most people give him credit for. And we'll continue our social experiment. We'll have Jerron, our intern, go out and drop a wallet. I say the nature of man is basically good. And I say if you take a wallet and you put your number on it and you say, if found, please call this number. Even if there's $100 in it and you throw it out in the busy intersection, somebody will find it and somebody will call you back. We're 2 for 2 yesterday.
That's right.
We dropped it 2 times, once at Farmer's Market, once just across the street. And we got our phone, we got the call. I don't know exactly what the timing was, but it seems within 10 minutes of the time it hit the sidewalk. I mean, it seems like somebody found it immediately and the first person that came across it immediately picked up a phone and called us. I think that's pretty good. And I think it's a pretty compelling argument for putting your number on your stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put it on your cell phone, you can put it on your wallet, you can put it on your iPod. Now, Rachel, you're a hot chick, so it's always a little creepy whenever you put your number on anything because some weirdo may find it, and then you got a good friend and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, I learned a valuable lesson about helping society. It just reminded me because when I was living in Santa Monica, there was a... That's probably about 12, 13 years ago. I was going to my rent-controlled apartment. And by the way, does anyone ever think about rent control from the side of the guy who owns the apartment building? I got this 6-unit in Santa Monica. I could get $2,300 a month for this 2-bedroom, but I'm only getting $650. Why? Well, the lady lives and it's old. Well, why don't you raise it? I can't. I got to wait for her to die. Really? Yeah. And then she's going to have her, when she passes, she's going to have her sister move in and she's going to live. How long's it been going on? It's been about 20 years. Really? And what's market rate for that? It's $2,500. And what about the other places in West LA and Wilshire District or in the Valley? Oh, no, they all get what they want. What about you? Nah, I can't rent it. I own the building, but I can't ask what it's for. Wow. Is there a car dealership that works this way? Oh, that Passat, yeah. Everyone else is leasing it for $750 a month, but you guys got to do it for $100 a month. Wow, we got to get down to that dealership. Everyone thinks landlords are just evil because it has the word lord, has the word land and lord in it. These guys, they buy these 6-unit, 4-unit, 8-unit little buildings. They buy it as an investment, like any other business, everybody. That's how it works, right?
Don't kid yourself.
Do not kid yourself. What is it? It's a job. No.
It's a business.
It's a business. Gentlemen, do not kid yourself. It is a business. The lordship of land. It really has the word landlord in it, and that's why everyone goes, oh, please, la-di-da, cry me a river. The guy owns half the Southland, and I'm a renter. How dare you tell me to pay more? But can you imagine that? Could you? And how did this ever get started? Where the government, the city officials from Santa Monica and pretty much Santa Monica only out here just step in and go, nah, you'll be renting that at, I'm feeling generous. Let's call it a little less than half of what it's worth. There you go. Fantastic. And then, of course, whoever owns the building goes, well, F this. I'll never put another coat of paint on this firebox. I'll have it torched before I go ahead and paint the trim that has the paint blistering off it, because I'm not making any money. So I was able to get into one of these buildings. Of course, when you're there, you have a strong sense of entitlement.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please. How dare they want to raise my rate, my rent. So I had a nice little place. It was little. Well, I was paying about $700. I had a lesbian roommate who hated me with a cat that was worse. But we lived in the back there. And I was coming home from the market one night, about 9 o'clock at night. It was dark. I heard screaming coming from the street. Screaming. He's going. It was a young woman's voice. So I came running down my steps and sort of darted out into the street, because sort of a long corridor of hedges. I couldn't really see left or right. And as soon as I hit the street, there was a hot chick. And she was like, he's got everything. So she just pointed and I just started running, because hot chicks point, you run, you know. But I was single. I was probably in my mid-late 20s.
And so, you've got something called courage, sir.
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't even think about it. I don't sit down and contemplate my courage, Dave. Thank you. It just kicks in. So I went tearing down the street, and I noticed the guy who was in front of me. He was a slender black man, and I thought, well, this is good. I'm never going to catch this guy. This is awesome. What you don't want is like a Samoan. You want like a heavy set guy who's huge, who you're quickly gaining on, because it means there's going to be a confrontation with a guy with huge calves in a couple of blocks. This guy was a fleet of foot black man. So I thought, oh, this is awesome. He'll run away from me. And, but I was gaining on him, which was unfortunate. And he had a guy who was the getaway guy. Now, evidently, it's a two-man crew. The one guy drives the beat-up Mazda RX-7 and waits in the car. The other guy jumps out, snatches the purse, the briefcase, the whatever, and then he jumps into the car and they speed away. This guy didn't have time to jump into the car, but his buddy was sort of trailing us in the car, and he kept trying to sort of swoop in and pick the guy up, but the guy really didn't have time to get into the car, so he was just sort of swooping while I was chasing. Eventually, and I was like, where's this going to end? And then there's that part where there's the personal part of thwarting crime that no one really ever talks about. That part where you're holding the guy in a headlock and he's screaming or trying to bite your arm, and they're screaming, come on, dude. And you got to do that for about 25 minutes until the cops show up. You know what I mean? I mean, imagine, just think about that part of getting involved with crime. It's not like there's a constable on the corner and you're going to blow a whistle and he's going to come running. This is L.A. I mean, it's going to take a good, solid episode of Mama's Family. You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be a good, I picked a bad sitcom so it would feel longer, even though it was still 30 minutes. I mean, it's going to take a good, it's going to take like 5 Led Zeppelin songs before a cop physically shows up. And in that time, you're going to be struggling. You're going to be sort of headlocking, hanging on. And the person's going to be cussing you out or doing worse. Like, hey, man, I got kids. You know what I mean? It's something weird. You know, I was abused. If I go in again, that's it. It's 3 strikes. You know, whatever. I got raped in prison last time. Whatever. He's blowing fluid on you. So at some point, thankfully, the guy drops the briefcase, drops the purse, drops whatever he's carrying with him. And, at that point, I stop chasing the guy, and, I collect the purse and the briefcase, and stuff pops open and stuff spread out all over the sidewalk. And, the hot chick who's trailing, she's sort of slowly trailing the play like an official when a guy picks one off and he's taking it to the house. He's that slow white official sort of trailing. She catches up, and I say, looks like we got your stuff back. So I just stopped chasing him, and she goes, where's my wallet? Now she's perturbed, right? This is really so hot chick move here. Fat chicks don't pull this move. Where's my wallet? Now she was caught up in the moment. Where? And I was like, I don't know, maybe it's around here somewhere. And she said, oh, I just went to the ATM. I just went to the ATM. And she was like, oh, where's my wallet? No thanks.
What she should be saying is not where she's just been, but where she's going, namely to the bed with you
to celebrate. That's right. I know, because if this was a movie, I would have gotten a ton of action.
Let's celebrate your machismo, brave sir.
Right. What, by the way, nature or nurture, I want to procreate with this kid. Talk about genes. This guy's got it.
This is obviously why the cape went out of fashion. Being a hero ain't all it's cracked up to be.
If I only had a cape. So I was like, well, maybe maybe it's around here somewhere. She was lamenting her wallet. And of course, now other people from the neighborhood, because of the commotion, are starting to file out. And then at some point, she sort of heads over to the gutter or whatever, because it was at night. And she produces the wallet. And she says, I found it. I got it. But then now it became her discovery. She found this wallet and everyone was like, oh, all right. And she was like, oh man. Yeah. And, then the cops showed up and then the pussy neighbor who gets in on the action, cop showing up. What happened? We heard a commotion, so we all came out and we all chased this guy. You know, we all turned into sort of we all thing. Yeah, they all filed out after this guy was way down the street and back into the RX-7. We all did this and we all did that. So I was just, it became, again, if it was a movie, it would have been that part where the sad music started coming in. I just sort of put my head down and started, it left the crowd and started walking back to my apartment. But I thought, I live in a 6-unit building that is next door to her building. I figured out that she either lived in the building next to mine or the one next to that. And she saw where I came from because she was out on the sidewalk directly in front of my building and I came flying out of the sort of little corridor that led into my building. So she must have done the math. So I thought to myself, all right, nothing. But I chalked it up to she was in shock. You know what I mean? She wasn't thinking right. She was under duress. She'd been taken by surprise by this hoodlum. About this time tomorrow, I'm going to get a knock on the door or I'll find a note, something. She's coming over and I'm single as can be and she's hot as can be. So this is going to be awesome. I waited some more and then I cried and then I waited some more and then nothing. Oh no, I masturbated. Nothing. Lived there for another 6 months.
Let me just say something. Chivalry did not die of natural causes. This lady murdered him.
That's right. She put a #2 pencil right in the back of chivalry, right between the shoulder blades. Now, I'd like to find her and steal something from her, really, but I'm trying to be fair, but I know everyone is capable of being bad, but I wonder if it had something to do with her hotness. I really do. I feel like that middle-aged, heavy-set woman whose nationality you can't figure out would have come by looking for, put a little thing on the mailbox that said I was the one who, I lived in if it wasn't a 4-unit building, it was a 6-unit building. I don't remember. I think it was 6 units, like 3 upstairs, 3 downstairs, the smallest right next door to her building. Never anything. No attempts at nothing.
You think she'd go on the news? You know, yes. Looking for you.
That's how the Lone Ranger
gets out of town and everyone's
asking, right.
Who was that masked man?
That's right.
God bless him, whoever he was.
All I have to go off of is one of his flip-flops. So if your foot is between 9 and 13, please, I'll try it on everyone in the land. By the way, could we narrow this the sock and slipper and flip-flop size down to maybe 8 sizes? I don't feel comfortable when I'm buying socks in the Chubb variety pack and they're like, if your foot is between the size of a cat's paw and Shaq, this will fit you. I'm thinking, how well is this going to fit me that it has this crazy 18 range here? I don't like that. I like to buy socks that just say, if you're 10 and a half, you buy this sock. If you're 10 and 3/4, here's your other sock. And then if you're 10 and 7 eighths to 11, here's a third bundle. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I was going to tell my journey story, how I got here, but then I realized I got into this. Oh, where are you? You know what now? If you're listening, sweetie, you're old. You've lost your looks. Got the crow's feet. Can't trade on them anymore. Next guy, go ahead and scream for help. It'll fall on deaf ears. All right. And by the way, I hope karma got her. That's what I'm hoping. We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Yo, this is Flavor Flav. Call Adam Carolla right now at 1-866-901-ADAM. All right? That's 1-866-901-ADAM. Boy.
Yeah. Well, a lot of show. Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy. Alex Borstein, who I knew many years before she did The Family Guy. She does Lois, Trish Stocknow. Also, Miss Swan from Mad TV. She's going to be in here. Andy Dick is going to be in here. Very interesting guy, Andy Dick. I think there's a method to his madness. We're going to continue. We're going to play some Ask Kiss Rodeo later on.
Wait, you mean drugs?
The method?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's his method, yeah. He's not as... I think guys like Andy Dick aren't as crazy as they'd like you to think. And one of the things is, which is kind of nice when you... And we've talked about this before, which is establish yourself as that person. If you establish yourself as, you know, the congenial game show host, then you get caught smoking pot in an airport lounge or some chick says you felt her booby and it's all over the newspaper. Whereas Andy Dick will walk up to beautiful women and just start squeezing their breasts because, oh, come on, it's Andy Dick. And the chick, whereas if I did that, I would be, you know, hit with a purse, wrestled to the ground and then incarcerated. The girls are like, Andy. And while he's squeezing their breasts, Andy, now stop. Okay. Okay. But 10 more minutes and then you have to stop squeezing my breasts. Okay. That's enough. Fine. Fantastic. And they just start laughing. I've seen him do it. He walks up, he does whatever he wants. It's like Snoop Dogg smokes weed wherever he wants. He's Snoop Dogg. He's nuts. He's Andy Dick. He gets to do what he wants. And I think he gets a lot of mileage out of that.
Well, what would you change if you could, what
I'd go for the pot and the booby squeezing. That'd be my thing.
You think you should just start to, I'm a crazy pothead.
Yeah.
Oh, that Adam.
Yeah, and then
go smoke a doobie, Adam.
It'd be a weird transition. You know, it'd be a tough 6 months. But after that, it'd be like, you'd see supermodels standing there holding my bong while I was feeling their breasts. Thank you. Hold that. Don't spill it. All right. Awesome. Thanks. I'm going to need the bong back now. And people go like, who is that guy? Why were you letting him? That's Adam. You know, he squeezes boobies and smokes pot. Oh, okay.
I feel like you're well on your way now, Adam.
Well, I think I could probably use this show as a launching pad, but
it's a booby squeezing.
Yeah, it's like we're talking about Gary Busey's going to come on here. He's known as sort of a nut job, but part of it is he likes it. He plays it up. You know, he gets in people's faces. He gets to do what he wants. He gets to say what he wants. Nobody ever tells him to shut up. He's nutty. He's Gary Busey. He's nutty. He's Andy Dick. He feels boobies. He's Andy Dick. I think he actually feels more than boobies. He may feel peepees too.
Does anyone know? Yeah. What does he prefer?
I know that for fact. I know that to be true.
Yes. You've had your peepee felt by Andy Dick?
I've been in some rooms though. For whatever reason, he doesn't like the cut of my jib, I suppose.
Wow.
But, I have
Can't
seen
be all gay.
I have seen him grope other fellows though.
Yeah. He is like any guy who sort of starts off as bi, you know, whether it's, you know, Elton John or whoever eventually. Bi is just sort of the bus station to gay. Mm. You really, when you say I'm bi, you're saying bye to heterosexuality. Bye-bye. Goodbye, vagina. I'll see you on the other side. I'm going gay. Hello, homo. That's what bi is. Bi is bye-bye to hetero, hello to homo.
Well, you say, I wonder how many of his boyish friends will say hello to. And when he arrives.
Yes.
I'm putting the over-under at 2.5.
He travels with a troop of young, oftentimes Asian boys. And I mean, when I say boys, I mean, 3 and 4 years old.
Yeah.
No, no.
Michael Jackson has a taste for 11-year-olds. His is a little more mature. Andy Dix is more in the driver's license range.
Yeah. Permit.
Closer to leaving.
Learner's permit. Yeah.
What is that about us chicks that we have no problem letting a gay man that we don't know come and feel us up?
It is.
It's always gay.
It is awesome.
He doesn't like boobies, so he can touch them.
Great. Boobies. Great scam. I know. We used to, over at the Man Show, we had our wardrobe guy, Rodney, was, openly gay, or at least, I hope he is. Or I hope none of his family's listening. But the point is he would stand there just for fun while we all stood at the end of the hall and come up behind one of the juggy chicks and just start squeezing her breasts, doing little game. Boom, 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 boom. You know, squeezing them. And we all just be standing there with our tongues wagging and they just be laughing. They're in on it too.
But yet if a guy who was openly straight came up and started playing with your junk.
Wouldn't work. That's why this should be C. Thomas Howell's next movie. He pretends to be gay, infiltrates the world of high fashion, and just stands there and watches naked women. You know, because it's great when you're gay, you do that thing. You know, the chicks come off the runway. Come on, honey, let's get you out of those clothes. Let's go. Come on, get nude. Here we go. No time for panties. Here we go. And the chicks just start shedding their clothes, and they always do it, too. They're always like, they interview Tyra Banks or Elle McPherson. Oh, listen, there's no time for modesty back there. Why don't they go ahead and, you know this, you know about fashion, Rachel. Go ahead and schedule 5 minutes in between the time the chick needs to be out on the runway. Why do you have to get, you know what I mean? Like, do you have
fashion
to run back?
Fashion is a high pressure world.
Yeah, modeling. I know. Like, what's going to happen?
High pressure.
What if the fashion show, instead of taking 55 minutes, takes 90 minutes? Would it be a big deal? Could you have the handful of blowhard celebrities just sit in a folding chair for an extra 10 minutes? Why do you have to run back? Clothes off in front of strangers and diving into your next costume. How about just give them a couple minutes? Someone needs to schedule it. But if you're gay, you get to see more naked women and models, by the way, beautiful women. Gay guys like beautiful women, which is strange. It's like, if you're vegan, do you go, I still love the New York Strip. That is awesome. I don't like that Salisbury steak. It's like, you're vegan. Well, don't tell us what cut of meat you like. I mean, if you think about it, it's the same thing. If you're gay, do the math, you don't like women. Okay, so why cuddle up to the beautiful women? Remember, you don't like women. Like I said, if you're vegetarian, why cuddle up? Yeah, but why cuddle up to the pot roast if you're never going to eat it? Why? Well, it's like, I'm vegetarian, but I love spending time around the New York Strip or the T-bone. I love being around. I love the way it smells. I like to spend time. I like to squeeze it, but I'll never eat it. Well, what are you doing then? Get out of there. Remember, you don't like chicks. Remember that part?
The gay fellas should aspire to be hanging out with the Clooneys and Eastwoods of the world, you know.
I totally agree. And yeah. I think they do it to get the straight guys jealous. The other thing I never buy in the gay world is, how the first question out of my mouth is always, oh man, so you go, must be cool, you're gay, you go to the locker room over at the, workout club, you go sit in the sauna, oh please don't flatter yourself, they always say. But don't you like looking at nude guys? No. That's their whole thing is they go to the workout club, you know, 28, 29 times a week, and they spend all day in the sauna, but they don't enjoy looking at nude men. I think they do.
I don't think anybody enjoys looking at nude men.
Here's why I'm going to argue with you. You go to any gay guy's apartment, look between his mattress and box spring.
I didn't know where you're going.
Yes. There will be plenty of magazines dedicated to nude men.
Oh, gay.
So if you don't like looking at nude men, why do you have a closet full of VHS tapes?
It's an old story.
Yeah, it's for the ladies.
It's not for a woman. It's, of course, for the gay man.
Of course you like looking at nude men. Just you know why? You're a dude and you're visually driven. I mean, think about it this way. If you're a dude and you're straight, you can't look at enough nude women. If you're a dude and you're gay, you can't look at enough nude men.
So it's a man thing, not a gay or straight issue.
Yes, the man thing, men are visually sort of inspired. They're motivated that way.
This idea could be the launching pad to uniting gay and straight men.
Yes, we have forever. Some, we have common ground.
You both like to look at nude.
I would more like to work on that, C. Thomas Howell movie where he pretends to be a flamboyant, a black flamboyantly gay hairdresser, infiltrates his way into the high fashion world, and then just stands there and looks at nude chicks all day and feels their breasts.
Well,
inevitably falls in love with one of them who says you'll be my perfect partner if you weren't gay, and he can't tell her.
Well, I feel like I've already, you know, I'm already, you know, thrilled to be a part of this, but if we could now work on a C. Thomas Howell
project,
that'd
be awesome.
Over the moon.
Awesome. All right. And by the way, at this point in his career, shouldn't he change it to D. Thomas Howell? It seems like we have to move down a little bit. He started at C. I would have started at B if I were him, but it's time to move on.
Let's get him in here.
All right. I will pitch this. I'm trying to think of what we should call it.
Shutterbug. No, that's not right.
No.
He's not the photographer.
No, but it would be good. Yeah.
Something with blow in the title.
Yeah. Oh, what if he had a name that sounded like his name was Barry, but we called it Gay Barry or something like that. You know, we did a little twist on it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's well, we'll put our heads
jolly.
Together.
Jolly. Don't forget the use of the word jolly.
Jolly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll work
Keep
on that.
On it.
Jerron is here. Speaking of gay, Jerron. Is here.
Oh, that's not right.
What? That's not a bad thing.
I am a gay American.
He is, he's our intern. I don't know what he is. I just said speaking of gay reminds me of Jerron. What's happening, Jerron?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you say gay or good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jerron helped us with our social experiment. He got a wallet. We put money in that wallet. We didn't put any ID in it because nobody wanted to take a chance of losing their license. And, I didn't want to confuse things. We just took a plain wallet. Well, we put a couple receipts and a library card or something you might find in a wallet. And we put $100. I put $80 today, though, Bruska, because, you
Did
know.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, thank
a little
God.
Tighter than you. So I reached into my own wallet, put $80 cash, 420s in there. And we put a label that says, if found, please call this number. And we took it, and we're just going to throw it out on the street. Yesterday, you were at the farmer's market, right?
Right.
And then where's the second location you went to?
I went to Kukuru.
Kukuru.
Yes.
Dave's favorite bistro. Dave, how say you?
Kukuru.
You should only be able to eat at places that sound good when you say them. Like, I don't know if Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles would be a good place for you, but I definitely know Kukuru would be good. And I think... some place that serve fondue might serve you well, too.
Well, there's the best Mexican fast food place in town,
mm-hmm.
Chipotle.
Yeah, that's a good one for you. Also, what was your favorite sandwich of Pittsburgh?
Primanti sandwich.
Yeah, that's another good place. That's a good place for you to eat. So Jerron took the wallet. Jerron just sort of quietly dropped it, right? Nobody saw you drop it. What we don't want is somebody chasing behind you. Sir, you dropped something. You dropped it without people seeing you,
yes.
Right? Set it down. And then we waited, see how long it would take for people to call in. It turns out they called moments later each time, right?
Right.
Yes. I say people are good. I say more than 9 out of 10 people are decent and good people who will do the right thing and have no malice in their heart. Yet, we make it a business in this society to focus on the less than 5% who aren't good people so we can sell alarms and deadbolts and everyone can be freaked out. And we have a news that's just chalked full of things. Oh, I'll tell you, if you got a kid, you got to implant one of these things in them so you know where they are at all times. They could be abducted. You've got to train them. Teach your kid Taekwondo. Teach him how to run serpentine in case a guy in a van pulls up. Everything is sort of based. Everything is meant to freak us out. And think about it. I mean, just think about it. If we forget about human beings, we're just talking about animals, and you convince that animal that the world was against them or that any of the other dogs at the dog park was looking to screw
kind
them
of
or
like
bite
how you them. Feel at him.
Yes, it's depressing. It's how you get depressed. Here's how you get depressed. You walk around thinking people are bad. Something bad's going to happen. Somebody's going to screw you over or worse. Someone's going to break into your place in the middle of the night.
You know who's behind it?
The man?
Charlton Heston.
Oh, I was going to say the gays.
No, because that way the NRA is behind it, because that way they can justify that we all have to have guns.
Right.
The media. I blame the media.
I blame the media, too, because little stories like Duran's here don't make the news.
That's right.
All right. So I'm convinced that people are generally decent, and that's why we're going to do this again. So, Duran, off you go. Take the wallet.
No, yes. Don't drop the wallet the way you like to in the bathhouse, like you like to drop the soap and linger yes. to see somebody
or
come
the
to
towel.
Help you out. This
yes.
is drop the thing and stealth-like. Get out of there.
Right. Right.
I apologize for that, Duran.
It's not a problem.
All right, Duran. Off you go with the wallet. Check back with us. Tell us not your exact location, but let's go ahead and we've been to one part of town. We didn't vary too far in the other part of town. I'm trying to think of what direction to go. Maybe we should head south. Mm. That might be a higher risk.
Yeah,
higher absolutely. Risk, but I think you ought to head south. Drop it and then call us back. Tell us what's happening. Thank you, Jerome. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Andy Dick's coming in if he wasn't listening to us talk about him. Dave Damashek with his young Asian boys will be coming in. Seth MacFarlane, Alex Borstein, Ask Kiss Rodeo. Which weighs more? The game that's sweeping the nation. Whatever or Big Tad? Washing machines, mopeds, baby hippos. We'll play that and sports and news after this.
We're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Andy Dick coming in. Seth MacFarlane coming in. Ask Us Rodeo. The social experiment with the wallet. Which weighs more? Whatever, Big Tad. Tom?
Yeah.
You felt girls' boobs at a gay bar?
Yeah.
Smart.
Two of my friends... Excuse me. Two of my friends and I, we went to visit my friend and my gay friend in L.A. We went to West Hollywood, and we started talking to this hot girl, and she had those boobs that you didn't know if they were real or fake.
Mm-hmm.
They were, like, really perfect. Looked too good to be real, but we told her, well, my friend said that if you're gay, the girls will let you do whatever you want.
And yeah.
We told her that, and she's like, yeah, that's true. And we said, well, we're not gay, but can we do it anyway? And she's like, okay.
Oh, well, all right. Well, she was generous, but you're not supposed to say you're not gay.
That proves that she has fake boobs, because girls who have fake boobs look
that's
good.
Right. They let you feel them. They also let you look at them, because it's not...
Like, they're not mine. They're not. It's not real. They're
yeah.
Not, go ahead.
Do what you want. Yeah, it's like the rental car. That's how you know the guy's renting a car, because you do a thing where it's like... Well, somebody needs to go on a beer run, and you get hit with a set of keys. Go ahead. And you're like, well, I just got my permit. Yeah, take the car. They're not yours. Just go ahead.
It's interesting. Rachel, you're an attractive woman. Has anyone ever encouraged you, or have you ever contemplated getting the boobs?
No.
Never.
I don't know. I'm not like a well endowed woman in that respect, but
that much is clear. No. I can't. But I wonder if it's ever come up, because you know,
hey, you're no Dave Coulier yourself, all right, Damashek?
Wow.
No, I kid, but really, that no one's ever mentioned it to you?
You
like
know,
no one's
yeah,
ever come
I
up?
I sat next to this movie producer once on a plane, and he was trying to he was like, well, you know, you gotta if you wanna make it in the business.
Is there anything creepier than that guy who's trying to talk the stranger into a boob job? It seems what's in it for him, by the way?
I don't know. I think it would be too much to, you know, cause they get them and then it's, I don't want people looking at my chest as it is.
It's back. It's a back. I wouldn't do it either. I've seen enough
you
of those.
You shouldn't, Adam.
I've
it's seen, not going to
no,
suit you.
No.
It's
I already
not
had,
suit your frame.
I already had scrotal plasty and I regret that. I don't want to get into the details, but it just didn't turn out. There's a lawsuit that prevents me from talking about it.
Right.
You're attractive as it is, but you would really be, you know, a perfect 10 if you just had Tad's bosoms. You know?
if only. Yeah, but then what about the lactating all the time? And I want to say this. If you're a gay guy, do not stop at squeezing the hot chick's boobs. Keep going. You know what I mean? On the third base. Next thing you know, you're back at their apartment. You're on top of them. I'm gay. Don't talk.
Ah. That's a good way to try.
Why am I gay? That was awesome. Clean yourself up. I'll see you this time tomorrow night. Don't forget. Tell your friends. Gay guy. Right here. Hey, baby, you turn me out. But don't worry. I'm going right back to my boyfriend's house. All right. Thank you. Yeah, it'd be funny. You probably get about 18 months, or maybe the chick gets pregnant or whatever comes first, but eventually it would wear thin. But I think there's enough models that are just sort of high enough and stupid enough who would buy it for long enough so that you could really just have your way with them for you know, couple of weekends and then go back to your next.
Well, this
victim.
Is the thing. Some women enjoy the idea of getting a guy to convert himself mm-hmm. to heterosexuality for a mm-hmm. night. So, right? Climb yeah. the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We do?
Yeah.
We want to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's depicted in TV and movies, no?
Yeah.
It's not quite the same conquest. Hey, guess what I did this weekend? I screwed a gay guy.
Well, I know there, but there's always, not for you and your right thinking friends, but there are others that are sort of, I think it is a notch in the belt of certain women to think I've conquered. Because if you do the math, if there's two guys and they're equal in looks and stature and their physique, everything's equal, their income, everything's equal about these two guys. And a beautiful woman walks into a bar, but one guy's really over anxious and enthusiastic. Oh, might I say, you look wonderful. Let me buy you a drink. And there's another guy who's just sort of playing it cool. Well, who is the woman most intrigued by?
Yeah.
Right? They want, now why? Well, it's the challenge. This guy, clearly, I could go home with him. I could just tell him to go out in the car and get nude. He would immediately do that. This other guy, who's this mystery guy? Doesn't seem like he's paying attention. Well, if you keep going with the math, gay is the ultimate. I'm not paying attention. And I think for some women, especially beautiful women, it's a little intriguing.
So you're saying that Tad would have more luck with women if he was gay?
Much more.
Actually, Tad just whispered to me that his problem is he's too aggressive.
He's too aggressive?
I'm too anxious.
Tad, yeah. You that's, should be more
women
gay.
Don't like it. I see a pretty girl.
332, maybe.
Well, no, it's the weight, too. But when I see a pretty girl at a bar, I just go at him right away.
Right.
And
pounces.
I pounce. Right. And then they're like, get away from me, fat ass.
Right. Thank you. So sad. But we can still beat up on him about his weight. Here's the thing. Yes, if Tad were gay, well, obviously, it's not going to hurt. I mean, the guy hasn't been laid in over 2 years. But I think it's an interesting angle that could just help his cause. I really do. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Ooh, a little vintage Joe Jackson for y'all. I don't know if this is Look Sharp or I'm the Man. I think it's off of Look Sharp. Good CD, everybody. We will be back. Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy. Andy Dick will be in here. We'll continue our social experiment with intern Jaron. Ask Us Rodeo. All that. News. Sports. All of it after this. Tell me one more time as teardrops start to fall.
Robert Schimmel. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM. Our intern, Jaron, is on the streets. Jaron?
Yeah?
What's happening, my brother?
I'm ready to roll.
All right. And you're going to drop the wallet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We'll do that. And we'll see how long it takes for somebody to call in. Again,
right.
Social experiment. I think the nature of man is good. It's not evil. I don't think we would have come this far. Think about it. Could we have come this far as a civilization if most people were bad? You know what I mean? Because here's what it takes. People have to donate time. People have to look out for other people. They have to take care of their own children. They have to pay their taxes. They have to build roads. They have to build schools. There has to be the Red Cross, and there has to be FEMA. They have to do the right thing. You know, another country has a war. We intervene. We break it up and then we leave them alone. You know, if the nature man was evil, it'd all be over in the first 3 weeks. Think about it. It'd be like a prison riot. That'd be that. And that's why prison's bad, because that is a place where it's 9 out of 10 are evil. And that's what you get. You get a shank in your gullet.
I agree with you. Jail is one place where you find them, and the other place is a little place called the Middle East. They're yes. 9 out of 10, or at least 7 out of 10, because the Palestinians just saw fit in their new democratic election to put the Hamas party in charge of them, a.k.a. the terrorists.
Cannot judge. Cannot judge.
Wonderful.
Cannot judge. Cannot judge. Well, here's my point. Like they do with all these countries where they always go, hey, hey, come on. The overwhelming majority of the people are good, decent people who want the same things out of life as you and I. They want their children to grow up and the thing. They just want to go to work. Yeah, that's true. The overwhelming majority, possibly 7 out of 8 people over in the Middle East would like that. That still leaves a lot of horrible people. See, you want a country where there's a million good people in one a-hole. They have a majority, a technical majority, but there's majority and there's majority. There's 9 out of 10, and then there's one in a million. You know what I'm saying? Or a million to one. Point is it's always a majority. Wherever you are, there's always more good people than there are bad people, but they have an alarmingly high rate of bad people.
I agree with that alone, but now you go that one extra step, which is 7 out of 10 Palestinians decided, let's put the terrorists in charge.
Yeah. Well, you can't judge. It's not the people. It's the government who are imported from what country? That's all. Everyone, just answer yourself that question. Whenever they say, oh, it's not the people. It's not the fine people of fill in the blank. It's not the fine people of this country or that country. It's the government. Okay. Now, next question. Where do they get the government? What nationality are they? Where do they import them from? They get them from another country? Where are they going to get their evil government? What is the nationality of the evil government? Yeah. I think you guys just answered the question. Chris?
Yeah.
You got a question about our traffic music?
Yeah, I'm curious. How come you didn't use Tijuana Texicab?
Oh, we have that somewhere.
Yeah, dig it up, because that frenetic music in the background, it's you can tell it's driving that lady crazy.
Good, good.
honk would be a lot better.
All right, Chris. How'd that honk go?
Honk, honk.
Thanks, here, you want
to
sync it up?
Said it to be honk, honk.
Wow.
That was a rip. I think
that was a rip.
That's a burn.
All right. Yeah, a little Herb Albert for you. All right. Now it is time, without any further ado, to do some news and sports. And first, Rachel Perry with the news.
So in news that use words that I like, John Kerry is lobbying to filibuster the Alito nomination. I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Well, it's kind of what Dave does on the show. You know, when I'm trying to get to a poignant moment, it's kind of, we'll look it up later. You have a good laugh. You have a good laugh.
Joaquin Phoenix got into a car accident. He lost control of his car early this morning driving on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles when his brakes went out. Flipped his car, hit another car, but he walked away from the accident. God was looking over him.
The lost control of my vehicle thing just to me means loaded.
No, it says it brakes. His brakes didn't work.
Now, what is this, a Starsky and Hutch episode from 1976? Yeah, yeah. His brakes didn't go out. Brakes don't go out anymore. They don't. And you're driving too fast if they do.
What if someone else who's nominated for a Golden Globe was trying to sabotage
him? Cut the brake lines. I love those 70s cop shows where that's how you would kill somebody. Hey, my ex-wife is starting to ask questions. We got to get rid of her. Cut her brake lines. I'm not sure if that would kill me. I feel like I would start backing down the driveway, hit the brake, feel no pressure in the pedal, coast to a stop, and then just call a tow truck. I don't know if I'd go sailing off a cliff.
Yeah, but maybe you get so pissed off that you would kill yourself after.
That's true. Interesting.
I just like to throw these suggestions out. I don't really know. I don't know anything.
All right.
I know nothing. What I do know, Oprah had James Frey, the author of A Million Little Pieces, on her show yesterday. He's the guy and the liar, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
She's pissed. She says she feels duped. But this is James's explanation of why he did what he did.
In order to get through the experience of the addiction, I thought of myself as being tougher than I was and badder than I was and it helped me cope. And when I was writing the book, I, instead of being as introspective as I should have been, I clung to that image.
She is such an exquisite, narcissistic blowhard that she believes that everything she says is so important and the nation hangs on every syllable that comes out of her fat trap that she has. She's even blowhardy when she's apologizing. I've never done this before in 20 years of broadcasting, and it takes a big woman to do this. Mm-hmm. But yes, I was wrong. I did something. Well, here's the thing. You have a guy who wrote a book. First off, what I tell people about reading, do you see what happens? Do you see what happens? It poisons the mind. First off, whenever someone writes a biography, an autobiography, how much of it do you think is fabricated when they're explaining the story about running back into the school bus with the retarded kids and saving them? And even when they said there were no more people in there, I still went back one more time. You know what I mean? When you're writing a book about yourself, what do you write? I have a small penis, I'm cowardly, and I generally blame my parents even though they were decent. Is that what you write, or do you embellish? The book was about his overcoming addiction, and whether there's some hyperbole sprinkled over the top of his addiction Sunday, the message is the same. It's, I was strung out, and I got myself right, and I'm having a good life. He said stuff like, my girlfriend killed herself by hanging herself, and as it turns out, she killed herself by slitting her wrist. So big deal. What is there a difference in the message if you're reading this book? And it's not fiction, but it's literature. Everything doesn't, you know, it's not like you're writing a historical account. It's not like you're doing a biography on Lincoln. You're writing your own story about your own addiction. And guess what? You were high most of the time. You're trying to recount these stories. You were out of your mind. Leave the guy alone. Oprah, who is on the cover of every goddamn magazine she's put out for the last 6 years. How about that, all you ladies who worship Oprah? You don't think it's just a little bit strange that someone comes out with a magazine, names it after themselves, and then puts their fat puss on the cover of every single issue? That doesn't feel narcissistic and strange? Would any of you do that? Oh, I'll call it Sheck. It's Dave Damashek. It's all things Dave Damashek, and a big picture of Dave Damashek in a Steelers jersey. It's going to be on the cover of every... Actually, you're agreeing with me, aren't you?
Yeah.
Your mom just orgasmed.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's a woman. She may be your mom, but she's a woman. She has needs.
I feel bad for this guy because, this is a sort of like pressure that would drive any... Yep. Normal person to drink, but being an alcoholic, I think. Listen.
All right.
Can you hear? That's the sound of James Frey clinging to the wagon right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that sound like?
Oh,
yeah. And also, but look at it this way. He's going to cry all the way to the bank because he's going to sell another. America is so stupid that we'll just buy another 200,000 copies just based on his second appearance on Oprah saying most of the stuff is BS.
Yeah. Like when Osama bin Laden recommended some book.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Moving on, there's this, speaking of books. Elmo put out a book called Potty Time with Elmo. It's an interactive book that has you push buttons,
mm-hmm.
and he says things to you,
mm-hmm.
like this.
Mm. What did he say?
Say again.
It was a chicken.
I think he said, "Who wants to die?"
Wow. Is that what he said?
Listen to it again.
Yeah. Well, if you say who wants to die while Elmo says who wants to die, I think it'll sound like it. Yeah.
Anyway, easier to understand than your pal Ozzy.
Yeah, good point.
Anyway, there were so many complaints that they took that one off the market and they re-recorded it. And that book is actually selling on eBay right now for $66.
Yep. See, that's what happens. Yeah.
He meant to say who wants to go, but it does sound who wants to die.
Yeah, because it's a potty book.
Right. Like to die.
I think that's the second book that Osama bin Laden recommended for people to read.
Yeah.
It's the Elmo book. Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time. Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA last night. Phoenix paid Shaq Fu and his pals a visit down in Miami. Suns celebrate with a win. Meantime, Sonics lost to the hottest of the Suns. Mavericks down in Dallas. Tonight, The Los Angeles Kobe's play their first game since Kobe went for 81 last Sunday night. They'll be visited by the Golden State Warriors. The Kings of Schwarzenegger in Philly, they're expected to be joined by their new teammate, Ron Artest. Pac-10 ball, Stanford, USC, and 17th-ranked UCLA, all winners. 9th-ranked Washington dumped at Cal. NHL, Coyotes were winners, Kings were losers. The Mighty Ducks shut out at by San Jose. Crazy story out of Florida. Of course.
Wow, shocker.
Police there arrested a former heavyweight champion for trespassing. He tried to run away, so they had to use tasers to drop him. I'm going to give you a few options.
Yeah.
Want you to guess who it is.
All right.
Vitaly Klitschko, Leon Spinks, or Oliver McCall.
Oh, I got to go McCall on this one.
No, trick question, none of the above. Muhammad Ali.
What?
Why would
what?
That? No.
Oh. Oliver McCall?
Yeah. Oliver McCall.
Oliver McCall is the heavyweight who started crying in the ring in the middle of a fight. Started sobbing. The ref, the poor ref, was like, do you want to? The other guy who kept punching him. It was really sad to see the guy break down in the ring. He was a good heavyweight. I'm not sure. He was definitely top 10, top 5. I don't think he was a champ, but he certainly was a top-ranked guy. He just broke down and started crying in the ring.
Yeah. Well, he was at one point the heavyweight champ, though, yes?
I don't know if it was.
He was briefly the heavyweight champ.
It was one of these things where he knocked down some guy who wasn't really universally recognized as the people's whatever and got the belt for 10 minutes and then started crying and gave it up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the champ, but as you say, probably for about 3 weeks.
Right.
Meantime, 9 days away from Super Bowl XL 40.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams practicing away. Very exciting. This is an interesting thing, I think. Two companies, one from Pittsburgh, one from Seattle, have made a little wager, you know, as is the fashion, you know, mayors do this, the governors do this. Now a couple of companies have done this, and I think this says everything you need to know about the two cities. Seattle-based jeweler Blue Nile has put up $10,000 worth of diamonds in exchange for $10,000 worth. This is a bet with the Heinz company. $10,000 worth of ketchup products.
Yeah. It's always so pathetic, especially when the mayors do it. The mayor of Pittsburgh is going to send over 20 pounds of fresh strudel from the Allegheny Bakery. And then the mayor of Seattle is going to send over some fresh salmon that's been caught from the... I would like... You lose, we get the fresh salmon. I win, I bang your wife. You know what I mean? Like, forget about what we export here. I want to get on your old lady. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. Then I'd really be intrigued in the game.
You know, even though they might be worth the same monetarily, $10,000 diamond versus $10,000 ketchup, I'm not sure if I should make fun of Seattle for being blue bloods.
Right.
But, or if I should be ashamed to be a Pittsburgher that we've got the tomato.
Here's the thing too. If you have to pay shipping on $10,000 worth of ketchup, it costs you $40,000.
I would say $10,000 worth of ketchup is more valuable than $10,000 worth of diamonds.
And that is a very sad testimonial, my friend.
Particularly if you sell it on the black market. Also, an inspiring story from the world of golf. John Daly shot a 69 at the Buick Open a day after his wife was sent to the pokey for her involvement in for 5 months in a drug and gambling ring. Now, by the way, this is his fourth wife, but I'm sure John Daly had no knowledge of this, you know, given his clean cut background.
The guy's moving
hash.
Good Christian. That's how you know golf isn't really a sport, when you can chain smoke, be loaded, be morbidly obese, and actually be better now than you were 20 years ago. That's how you know it's not a sport.
And coming up in my next report, my exclusive interview with the man I mentioned earlier, the newest Sacramento King, Ron Artest. I had to sit down with him. I've been traveling all night. I'm a little punchy from traveling, but I did get to sit down with him, see where his head's at.
Right. One on one.
So yeah, it's good. That's something to look forward to.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Kimbra has a story about a missing dog. Kimbra?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, you were talking about the goodness of people and all that good stuff.
Yes, well, Duran is out dropping a wallet right now. We'll see if we get a phone call.
And I believe you. I believe that that's true for the most part, except I have a coworker and her dog that she had for like 6 years, a little poodle, AKC, and all that other good stuff. And she put like $10,000 into the dog between.
What'd she do? Lower it and put some rims on it? How do you put $10,000 into a poodle unless you physically put $10,000 into it? Well, wait a minute. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have my dog. I've put $5,000 into the dog.
It's an investment.
What do you have to do? Have surgery? No, I rammed it up its rectum. There's physically $5,000 in the dog. I'm not saying I put $5,000 worth of veterinarian treatment into it. Yeah. All right. So
surgery and all that good
stuff. And what happened? What happened?
Well, the dog got out of the yard and doesn't go very far. It had happened before, but anyways, somebody found the dog and it had a collar on with the number and all that good stuff. And the people called and that found her and blocked their number and said that she was such a sweetie that they were gonna keep her. And
so
that
mean.
They just wanted to let her know that she was safe and in a good home.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. So, I mean, this is somebody's...
Well, if we had an evil society, they would have never picked that phone up and given the old owner peace of mind.
That was like Doug Benson said yesterday. I want to just call the numbers that I'm keeping your wallet.
Yeah. All right. I would say that's a push in the karma department.
No, because, I mean, that's like to some people like her, this is like almost like a child. This
no, I understand. That would break my heart. It would be weird.
I mean, that's totally different from a wallet.
Are you sure this is what happened? This doesn't make sense to me. The
people
kind of person.
People steal cute dogs all the time.
I know, but they don't call the owners and say, don't worry about it. She'll be in loving hands.
Yeah, that's what they did. And the thing is they blocked their number and everything and said that she's such a good dog that we're going to keep her, but we just
all right, I don't believe your friend. I think your friend's a drug addict.
She's right here. If you want to talk to her, you can talk to her.
Yes.
She's like totally...
All right. All right. All right. Every once in a while, there's a bad apple. That's not even a bad apple. That's just a good apple with a little brown spot in it.
That's a mean jerk apple.
Jerk apple?
Yeah.
I'd like to try that with you. Also, I do realize that a lot of people think society is bad because they do that thing where it's like... When I used to do Loveline, I talked to chicks. They were like, I went out, I did about 30 Jaeger shots, and I think somebody put something in one of them because I passed out later and there was a dude kissing on me. It's like, I don't think anyone put anything in your drink. I think you got loaded and passed
out.
Yeah,
I think the manufacturers put alcohol in the bottle.
They go ahead and otherwise the Jaeger would just be called NyQuil. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Oh, man, so much to talk about today. Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy, Andy Dick from
Andy Dick
Asia Minor. When I say that, I mean he likes minors who are Asian. Is going to come in here, also ask his rodeo, which weighs more. We're waiting for our call. I know they're not going to call back now because it was my $80 that went in that wallet. All right, all that after this.
Yeah, man, you are listening to The Adams Carolla Show. Call Adams now at 866-901. Adam, yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're a lion.
Those Hasidic Jews. No funnier people in the land. All right, we have much business to attend to. But first, our intern, Jaron, is going to give us an update on the wallet. Jaron?
Adam.
What happened?
All right, I dropped the wallet inside the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady picked it up, and she hasn't called back yet.
Oh, you saw her pick it up?
Yes, I did.
Is it a employee of the restaurant, or is it a customer?
I believe it's a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Track her down.
What?
How did she?
What are you
pick
saying, scat man? Hold on. What was that?
Excuse me. Track her down.
Well, you're keeping an eye on her, right?
Yes, I am. I'm outside the restaurant right now, just waiting.
Uh huh. Is it the restaurant we spoke of?
Yes, it is.
Hmm. Interesting. Yes. Interesting. All right, and you saw the woman who picked it up?
Yes.
Did she look inside it?
She just picked it up and looked at it, and then I just walked out.
I see.
Jaron, jump into the nearest cab and say to the driver, follow that car!
Well, he's black. He can't get a cab.
Oh, that's true.
Haven't you seen? Don't you know what kind of society we're living in? Sorry, Jaron. That was uncomfortable. All right. So, we will... We went out. So, keep us posted.
All right.
If she leaves, now remember, that's my $80.
Not a problem.
But technically, and I don't know what, I'm not sure what protocol is here, because if she picked it up and she chooses to keep it, that's part of the experiment.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we're time travelers who can't mess around with things. As good as our hearts may be, we may affect the outcome of the world and the history of the world. Like maybe Jerron has to just observe like a time traveler.
Like the Star Trek episode.
Like that one that only Brusca saw and probably shouldn't have said anything about. Yes. Yes, my Trekkie friends. Calling all nerds. Wow. Well, he's not beating people up. He's watching Star Trek. You know how I know I like you? I like you if you call it Star Trek. That means you haven't seen it. And if you correct me when I call it Star Trek, that means I don't want to hang out with you. So, Jerron.
Yeah.
Hang tight.
All right. I can get it back for you.
No. I don't know. We're making this up as we go along, but I'm not sure if that's what we want. I think we should, because here's the thing. She may get home and think about it, open it up, right. see what's in it, do a little soul searching and possibly call. It also could be funny if she went home and called and said, well, there was no money in it when I found it. That's a distinct possibility. So again, Jerron, do not interfere with the course of history.
All right.
And get me a Diablo sandwich.
No problem. No.
Okay, buddy. Hang tight. Tell us, keep us updated.
All right.
Now, the game that is sweeping the nation. I thought Ask Kiss Rodeo was sweeping the nation, and maybe it is, but this is bumped it off for the top spot in terms of games that are sweeping the nation. Big Tad, who's all of 200, I should say 330-something pounds.
No.
your latest weigh-in, 321. 321 was the latest weigh-in. Now, again, Big Tad is going to attempt to lose 12.5 pounds in 1 week, and if he does, he's going to Scores in Las Vegas, 2 days, all. Are you going to stay at the Rio?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Going to the Rio for 2 days, bringing the Perfect 10 girls, and hanging out at Scores.
Yes, sir.
If he pulls it off.
If he does not, he's going to get three shots with a paintball gun in his big belly that we're going to draw a bullseye on with lipstick. It's going to be good. It's going to sound good. I know it sounds cruel.
It sounds painful.
Well, that's what happens.
You could damage him or something.
Well, let me explain something. This isn't because I enjoy shooting the morbidly obese with paintball guns. This is because, although I do have family has a rich history of it. Dad is a great, great hunter of the morbidly obese with a paintball gun. This is tough love. If he keeps eating, he's going to eat himself to death. You understand? This is aversion therapy at its best. I do it because I love to shoot people who are fat with paintball guns. All right, so we're now going to get into this game, which is which weighs more? Yes?
Which weighs more?
It's time to play Which Weighs More, the game where you decide which weighs more, Tad or various large items. Tad's present weight, 321 pounds. Which weighs more? Tad, or a Belson Outdoors 4-foot by 6-foot single opening aluminum bus stop shelter.
Ooh, wow.
Come out of the man.
Wow, aluminum bus stop shelter.
Jeez, aluminum 4x6.
Yeah.
A bus stop shelter?
Tad, check, how say you?
I am going with the congealed mass of tattooed flesh, body hair, and pudding known as Fat Tad.
I concur. I'm going Tad as well.
You are all incorrect. Ooh. The bus shelter weighs 750 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, and here's the thing, too. See, aluminum, I think, threw people off. All right, one more, and then we'll go to break. We have many to get through. We're all 0-for-1.
Which weighs more, the combined weight of tennis sensations Venus and Serena Williams, or Tad?
I'm going with the tennis sensations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the twin bosoms of Tad and the rest of his fat self.
It's tough. They're so. I'm going with the combined weight is more than Tad.
The Williams sisters beat Tad by 4 pounds, 325 pounds.
Wow.
That's a close one. Wow. be the lunch meat between those two beautiful pieces of dark bumper nickel. Awesome, wouldn't it be? Awesome. You'd be thrashed. You may not ever walk again, but it would be awesome. All right. So 0 for 2 goes Sheck, 1 and 1, Rachel Perry and I. We got to take a break. We will be back to play Which Way's More with Big Tad and you after this.
To the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Thank you. 866-901-ADAM. We're playing Which Weighs More, Big Tad. Target weight is 321. First question that intrigues me. Wait a minute. This is a hardware question. I can't help it. A moth to the flame. Bill?
Hey, Adam.
Carolla, do you have a hardware question for us?
I do, yes. What's the best way to hang a picture, a framed picture, on a lath and plaster wall? It's a pretty heavy picture.
It's heavy. All right.
Yeah.
The way they used to do things before drywalls, they would put lath, little skinny pieces of quarter-inch rough-sawn wood, and then they would just plaster right onto it. They'd leave a little space in between so it would squeeze and in and grab. Then they started using button board, which is like drywall with little divots in it to hold the plaster. And then somebody figured out, why are you putting the button board on? Why don't we just make it smooth? We'll call it drywall, and that's what you guys have in your homes today. He wants to know find a stud. You want to hit a stud.
Right.
I would say hit a stud. Okay. Your studs are spread out 16 on center. The center of each stud from one stud to the next stud to the center of the next stud is going to be 16 inches. That'd be 14 and a half inches in the bay. So if you go to the corner of the room, you have to find out where layout begins. When they lay it out, they lay it out. They start from either one side or the other, and then it's 16 inches on center all the way down. It's the, 32, 48 inches. It just keeps going. So start from one side, measure 48 inches over, measure 32 inches over, find it, layout, and then tap your finger. It'll sound different. I swear to God, I'll find any stud in this building just by tapping my finger. Dry. Now the plaster's a little bit thicker, but tap, 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 it'll get higher. I'm telling you, it's a divining rod. You will find a stud, then drill a little pilot hole. Get a very thin drill bit, just 3/32 or something, and push it through. If you don't hit a stud, you'll feel it sort of pop into air. If you're on the stud, you'll feel it sinking into the stud. Do that, and then just sink a lag bolt into it or wood screw.
Okay,
you with me?
Yeah, definitely.
All right,
watching.
All right.
I'll tell you. Speaking of drilling, I've never seen Miss Rachel Perry so aroused as she is right now by the Ace Man.
It was like watching Russell Crowe in that math movie. You're like a
savant.
A savant. It's like the way you're doing it, it's like I'm watching a genius at work.
Rachel Perry would like you to put that finger on her. Find her stud. She's found her stud.
Thank you. Thank you. Powerful stuff. All right. Wow. Finally, somebody who appreciates a little home improvement. Maybe you should talk to my wife. I'm the only guy I know who's actually criticized around the house for doing things. Oh, please give it. I swear to Christ, my wife's this way. What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to go ahead and hang that fixture in the end. Oh, God, give it a break. I didn't say I was going to be cruising brides on the internet or doing slamming heroin with Andy Dick. I said I was going to be doing some. Oh, but you just stop thinking about it. Just come on, give it a break.
Adam, I got a few pictures that I need hung at my place. If you want to come over,
I will gladly hang them.
Thank
I will.
You.
I will bring my finger with me.
Thank you.
All right, now we must continue with the game that's sweeping the nation. Which Weighs More? Rachel Perry and I, 1-1. Damashek, 0-2. And how say you?
Let's mention that I'm also the champion.
Two times running, by the way.
Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Back to Which Weighs More. Tad's present weight, 321. Which Weighs More? Tad or a Santa Potty brand porta potty made of polyethylene with wooden base?
Ooh, porta potty. Polyethylene with wooden base. I'm going to go with the potty.
Going with porta potty. Yeah. Well, it's tough because if it's completely dry, if it's empty, I could see it being maybe a little lighter. But if it's got some fluid in it, then possibly not. Sheck, how say you?
Well, Tad's gaping maw basically acts like a human toilet. I'm going to go with fat Tad.
I'm going Big Tad on this one, too.
Big Tad, the porta potty weighs 189 pounds.
Wow. Well, and here's the thing I love about this show. Not only do we get to make fun of Big Tad and kill a break or two, you learn something about construction, materials, polyethylene versus the aluminum versus other building materials. You really learn about things on this show.
Infotainment.
That's what we call it. Yeah.
Porta potties always have really good names, don't they?
Yeah.
Like Call Ahead.
Yeah.
Royal Flush.
Yeah. There's Portisan and Johnny. There's a good Johnny one in there. I got to figure it out. All right. Now, where are we? So is it 1-2? 2-1 for the Ace Man?
2 for the Ace Man. 1 correct for Dave. 1 correct for Rachel.
All right. Here we go.
I'm off today.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or 436 cans of Cafe Arlotte Flavor Atkins ready-to-drink shakes?
Ironic. Diet shakes. Ironic.
He said 436
cans. 436
cans. 436
cans. Cans of diet shake?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the shakes.
All right. Sheck, how say you?
Fat Tad.
I'm going with the shakes, too.
Sheck is the winner.
Wow.
The cans weigh 300 pounds.
Wow. Wow, I guess the diet cans are lighter. Yeah. All right. Wow, this is really getting tight now. Really tight. Let's keep going.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or a full-grown male Sumatran orangutan?
Mmm.
Ooh. Gosh.
Mmm.
I love it every time you look at me.
I'm going with the orangutan.
Mm-hmm.
Ape.
I'm going. So you're saying Tad? No, I'm going Big Tad on this one.
The answer is Big Tad, the orangutan. Dang. 198 pounds.
Yeah, anyone who's seen Any Which Way But Loose as many times as I have knows exactly how much the orangutan weighs.
You're right. I didn't put two and
you're
two
not
together.
Thinking straight.
Right
Come
turn,
on.
Clyde. I deserve
on,
the
Clyde.
Punch myself from
you really
from Clyde.
Should.
Right.
All right. Where are we at, Bruska?
We are at 3 correct for Adam, 2 right. correct for Dave, and only 1 for Rachel. She's off today.
Wow.
Having a bad, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Today. I think I threw her off with my finger. We need to take ourselves a little break, I do believe. But the game continues.
Oh,
so we're going to spill it into the next break. Also, Andy Dick is coming in. I think one of his squires showed up, but I haven't seen him. I think he's the guy who's sleeping in the green room, by the way.
I've
not seen Andy yet. Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy is going to be in here. Try to get to some Ask Us Rodeo as well. But more, Which Weighs More, after this.
This is Kevin Nealon, and if you're not listening to The Adam Carolla Show, I hope you have a bit of juice. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yes, 866-901-ADAM. We were smack dab in the middle of Which Weighs More with Big Tad. Big Tad's weight. 321, and we pick out items, durable goods often, and figure out which weighs more, that or Big Tad. I think I was winning. Now, Rachel Perry's the reigning champion. She's up 2-0 on all of us, but what is the current score on this game, Bruska?
Adam's got 3 correct, Dave has got 2 correct, and Rachel only 1 today.
Wow. All right, let's keep going.
To Which Weighs More, the game where you decide which weighs more, Tad or various large items. Tad's present weight, 321 pounds. Which weighs more, Big Tad or 2 NASA certified spacesuits, including life support system?
Wow. We're really digging deep.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Spacesuits.
Well, the spacesuits have to be heavy. I imagine the shoes are very heavy, but then again, Tad's bosoms are very heavy. I'm going to go spacesuits, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Big Tad.
The correct answer is spacesuits, 620 pounds.
Wow.
Finally.
Two of them.
Finally.
Wow. All right.
Tie game.
Wow. Sheck back in. 3-3. And Rachel clawing her way back to the top of the Tad Mountain. nowhere you'd like to camp, believe you me. I went camping on Tad Mountain when I was a kid. I got ringworm, hepatitis. It was horrible. We had to leave a day early. And then we left the equipment behind, too. We just said, "Fat." We got in the wagon. We left. We don't need the Coleman.
What'd you say?
And you need a you need a machete to cut through all the filthy hair all over you, too.
Come on, please. Here we go.
Which weighs more, Tad or a 2006 Yamaha G-Max Limited Edition 48V golf cart?
Oh, golf cart. Yes.
Oh, man. Tad or a golf cart? I'm going to go with the golf cart.
Sheck, how say you?
Fats.
Fats? I'm going cart.
Golf cart. 549 pounds.
Mm. All right. All right. Now Sheck and Rachel tied up. Boy, it's getting thick. Here we go. Into the final rounds.
Which weighs more, Tad or a 7-foot concrete and redwood park bench?
Mm.
Park bench.
Fats.
Park bench.
It's close. It's Tad.
No!
The park bench weighs in at 310 pounds.
No!
I've drawn even once again, yes?
You're getting close.
No way.
Let's see what we got here.
Is he even with me? I think he may be.
Yeah, it's 4-4.
4-4. Rachel Perry is 3.
That's correct.
Let's keep going.
Which weighs more, Tad or two Goodyear 11R 24.5 Unisteel tires?
Hmm.
I'm going to go with Tad.
Truck tire, yeah. Check.
Wait, those are truck tires?
Well, they're big tires.
Tires.
You going tires? I'm going Tad on this one, too.
The correct answer is Tad.
Dang.
The tires weigh in at 280 pounds.
Can't get over the hump here.
All right, how many more? Two more? Last one. Where are we at, Bresca?
We got Adam's got 5. Dave's got 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel's got 4.
Ooh. Ooh,
Rachel Perry, not out of it yet.
Yes. All right, I'll tell you what. I will go first.
Okay.
Because then you two can go the opposite of what I go, and then we'll keep this.
A chivalrous day.
We have to go the opposite?
I wouldn't pick what I pick, because then the best you could do is come in one below.
Get
Although
it?
You should be punished for asking that question.
I don't.
And have to go first.
I'm not.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not smart.
I'll go first. You need to pick the opposite of what I pick, okay. No matter what I pick.
Makes my choice easy. It's fine.
If he says, which weighs more, two Tic Tacs or Big Tad with sand in his pockets, and I pick Big Tad, you have to pick Tic Tacs. It's your only chance. You understand?
Okay.
This is your Hail Mary.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or the Times Square New Year's Eve ball?
Wow.
Wow.
What a crapshoot. I'm going to... Wow. I know it's hollow, although I've always often fantasized it was filled with cheese and peanut butter.
Well, Tad is, and he's sitting right here.
Well, it's true. Light him up.
How dare you?
Put an extension cord in his ass and light him up. I'm going to go with the ball.
I happily take Fat Tad.
All right.
I guess I have to take Fat Tad because I've been told.
It's Big Tad.
Please, that's the way the
Did
game
I call
is
you
going.
Fat Tad?
Yes.
I didn't mean to. That was an accident. Sorry,
which
Fat
weighs
Tad.
Which weighs more?
The correct answer is the Times Square New Year's Eve.
I knew it.
1,070 pounds.
No, you're right. Wow. I wouldn't have tied with you.
Yes. See, I was explaining
like
today.
Yeah, you're right.
In the 6 o'clock break.
I
to
know,
you,
but you're a savant.
No.
I'm just an idiot.
I'm a simpleton from North Hollywood who lucked into this job because my dad is the king of radio.
Adam's the winner, by the way.
Thank you.
Adam's the new champion.
And I'll recap. Tad is a heavier than an orangutan, 436 cans of Atkins shakes, tires, and a park bench. He's heavier than all that.
Thanks, brother.
Wow. And I'll tell you, the makers, and I don't know if it's Kenner or the I'm not sure who actually does this game. I'm not sure if it's who does the research on it, but the point is they've gotten wise. It's no longer easy just to answer Big Tad on everything. You'll not win that way anymore. You have to use deductive reasoning, and that's why they play Which Weighs More.
You've taken the belt from me, and I vow to get it back.
I'll be using the magic finger to take the belt from you, too, later on today. All right. Now, where are we? We're going to do some... Yes. We're going to do some news with Rachel Perry.
Well, this January 29th will officially end the year of the cock. Yes, I said it.
Yes?
Do I have to say it again?
Chinese calendar?
No, just the year of the cock.
Oh.
I've been celebrating for a whole year now, and nobody noticed. I don't know what that means. Anyway, the year of the dog is going to begin. Apparently, this time of year, all of the Chinese people hop on trains to go visit their families, and the trains don't have bathrooms, so apparently adult diaper sales in China go up 50%.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Oui, oui.
It's impossible to judge, and you can't judge, but what the F is wrong with those people?
You know how we're going to have an ambient show? I say we have the show where we all...
The diaper show?
The diaper show.
We take laxatives?
No, well, maybe we just keep eating, or you feed me milk or something.
All right. I'll feed you milk. I'll give you a laxative, and we'll put you in a diaper. That'd
well,
be
not
an
just
awesome
for me,
show.
I meant all of
okay,
us.
Okay, we'll do the diaper and laxative show.
Speaking of Year of the Dog, 66% of American dog owners say they would work longer hours and take if they could have their dog at the office. And 32% of people say they would take a pay cut if they could have their dog at the office with them.
So sad. My wife, who originally thought my dog Molly was a person, is now thinks the dog is royalty, not just a person, not just a commoner, but actual king or queen. Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night. My wife likes to do this. She likes to cover the dog who sleeps on the bed with us with a blanket, oftentimes the one I use. Likes to cover the dog and then announce the dog is cold. But then the dog kicks the cover off every time. And I say, the dog does not want to be covered. That's my wife has to interpret what my dog is thinking when my dog isn't thinking about anything ever. Oh, she's mad at you. She's hurt. You hurt her feelings. Her feelings. You hurt her feelings because you didn't say hi to her. She's coming up to say hi and you snub her. And why, really, you're reading that much into the dog. She's cold. She's irritable. She's tired of you. She's teaching you a lesson. She wants to eat and lick things that have salt on them. That's what she wants to do.
Your wife is using the dog as a medium for explaining her own feelings.
Yes. The dog feels like you don't perform enough oral on it. Huh? You know what I mean. All right. Yes, the dog is cold. That's why the dog kicks the bathrobe you put over her every night while she sleeps off immediately. She's so cold. She's frozen and delirious. That's why she kicks off the cover.
So Hamas, considered to be a terrorist organization by the U.S. and Israel, snatched leadership of Palestine from the old guard Fatah? I don't know.
Good enough.
What do I know? What do I know?
What do they know is the real question.
In a landslide election, well, senior Hamas leader Mahmoud al-Zahar gives an explanation of why they aren't going to deal with the Israelis.
Sitting down with the Israeli just to waste our time and to waste our money, this is not our style.
Right. And listen, it's not that they're anti-Semites. They just want all Jews to die. Let's get that straight. They're not anti-Semites. Those people. It's nothing to do with hating Jews. It has to do with wanting them to be destroyed. Yeah. They're delight. They're great people. And by the way, I'm sure this whole mess will be worked out by over the weekend. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Trouble in the Middle East. We have two TVs on here right now. There's a bunch of lunatics swinging towels over their head. Wait a minute. Those are Pittsburgh fans. Sorry. They get off the sports channel. No, they've taken to the streets. They're holding up a big picture of, it's Arafat. Look, the place is a mess. It was a mess 20 years ago. It was a mess 40 years ago. I want somebody just to go back and compile. I want someone to make a rap song called Trouble in the Middle East, and we'll have newscasters throughout the ages from the 70s, 80s, the 60s, and it's just going to be trouble, 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 trouble in the Middle East, trouble in the Middle East. Every news story starts off every day. Hey, there's trouble in the Middle East. Tell us when there's not. Okay, that'll be news. No trouble in the Middle East. There's your news.
I like this Mahmoud guy, though. The way he talks, he's like, it's not our style. It's not our style.
Yeah.
It's kind of cooler than Bush. He also said he was wicked excited that Hamas was in power now. Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave?
Well, we're just 9 days away from Super Bowl 40. Both teams practicing away. By the time we get to the other side of the weekend, both teams will have arrived in Detroit. Can't wait for the big game. Steelers -4. My pick, 10-0 in the playoffs to this point. Picking with the point spread. You'll want to tune in for that.
Oh, really?
It's
not giving it up.
A perfect 10-0.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll be going to the game?
Well, if you had breast implants, maybe it would be a perfect 10.
You'd be a perfect 10, yeah.
But
you going to the game, Shaq?
Of course I am.
Good man.
Pac-10 ball, Stanford, USC, 17th-ranked UCLA, all winners. 9th-ranked Washington, dump at Cal. NHL, Coyotes winners, Kings losers, Mighty Ducks shut out by San Jose. Inspiring story from the world of golf. John Daly shoots a 69 at the Buick Open the day after his old lady, his fourth wife, gets sent off to the clink for her involvement in a drug and gambling ring. Wonderful. NBA last night, Phoenix paid a visit to Shaq Fu down in Miami. Suns win it. Meantime, Sonics lose to the Mavericks down in Dallas. Tonight, Los Angeles Lakers play their first game since Kobe went for 81 last Sunday night. They'll be visited by the Golden State Warriors. And the Kings are in Philly, where they may be joined by their new teammate, Ron Artest. Now, Ron Artest, of course, forced a trade from the Pacers. He requested one about 2 months ago. And, you know, obviously a star-crossed character, this guy. He's the guy jumped into the stands to fight the fan in Detroit. You know, he makes rap record, takes time off so he can work on his rap record. Lots of technical fouls all the time for arguing this and that.
Lovable head case, I would say.
Right, right. Madcap.
Yes, you know? Yeah. Yes.
Zany fun he likes, you know. So anyway, it's in my role, as you know, I like to try and sit down with the biggest names in sports, and I've done so once again.
Yeah, yeah.
I've caught
up
with.
Did you fly out there?
I flew all the way to Indiana, to the Hoosier State, to sit down because before he moves on to the Keystone State to meet up with his teammates in Philly for tonight's game, he was packing things up. We sat down at outside of a practice, and here's my exclusive interview with him. Ron Artest, the deal is finally done. Peja Stojakovic is a Pacer. You are a Sacramento King. How say you?
It's good that, you know, no more trade talk and chance to go back watching basketball. I'm back on the team, so it's good to finally get that behind me. And, you know, there's a lot of other great stories in sports.
Yeah, you're right. We all should move forward. Who even knows how this whole thing got started? Oh, yeah, it was because you insisted that you could no longer play for the team that defended you when you jumped into the stands like a lunatic last year and attacked fans. Anyway, let's not look back. Let's look forward. What do you think about the Sacramento Kings?
I'm definitely going to love, you know, playing in Sacramento. Everybody talks highly of the Maloofs. They love their organization. It's going to work out.
Well said, Ron. You're saying a lot of the right things here, but are you right upstairs, you know? Is the head straight?
Being a little bit older, a little bit more mature, it's helping me, you know, making decisions, making smart decisions.
Ron, talk is cheap. Let's put this thing to the test. I'm going to pour this can of Coca-Cola on your head. What do you think of that?
That's going to be fun.
All right, there you go. What do you think, Ron?
That's fun.
And now, Ron, how about if I punch you right in the face?
That's going to be fun.
How say you, Ron?
That's fun.
Ron Artest. A new man. Well done, sir. Well done.
Wow.
Ron Artest.
Speaking of well done, nice job.
Thank you. Well, you know, I feel like, you know, I really tested him. I pushed him to the envelope and, you know, he didn't raise a fist to me, you know, so I think, you know, dawn of a new day. Good luck with him, Sacramento.
Nice job.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. We have a update from Jaron, our intern, who dropped the wallet. Jaron?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, we sent you out, put $80 of my hard-earned cash into the wallet, had you throw the wallet down. The wallet said, if found, return or call this number, and it gave the phone number out. We're 2 for 2 thus far. We did it yesterday. We got the phone call immediately, but Jaron threw the wallet down. Somebody picked it up. You saw him pick it up. They're in a restaurant, but they've not called yet. Do you have an update?
It turns out that she's a plainly dressed employee of the restaurant.
Ah, because before we were trying to figure out whether she worked at the restaurant or was a customer. So an employee.
Yes.
And do you think she's turned it in to somebody, lost and found or something? Do you have any idea?
No idea. She's working the front counter of the restaurant.
She made a nice $80 tip today.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, I'm wondering if you work for a restaurant, I'm wondering if because of the tips are sort of being thrown around, I wonder if everything feels like fair game. But still, there's time for her to call. Maybe she got caught up in her day. How say you, Jerron?
It's not that busy in here right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's going to keep it.
I want to know what they think of Jerron right now, sitting there doing nothing for hours on end at this restaurant.
Yeah, he's in a delicatessen, so I'm guessing he's standing out. Jerron?
Yes?
Are anyone giving you the stink eye?
No, I can get it back for you.
Your stink eye or the wallet? No, I don't want you to get it back. Again, we've talked about this. We just, like time travelers, we can't afford to interfere no matter how dangerous. Here's the thing. If you built a time machine and you went back to 1939 Germany and you had an audience with Hitler, you couldn't kill him. I've seen the movies. It would throw everything off. Something
horrible
would happen.
You can't mess with the time continuum.
But you could bring him back to the present in order to do a school paper.
That's right. You'd have to get your paper done. That's right. All right, Jerron, hang tight.
All right.
All right. We'll check in with us. Curious. I felt so good about humanity and the state of humanity. We got calls immediately yesterday. Now someone has hung on to it. They've not taken it home yet. They've just hung on to it.
For all we know, it's sitting in a lost and found box.
I get the feeling the person is hanging on to it and waiting to take it home and then make a move on it. Somebody knows the China diaper story. Kira?
Hey, Adam.
What's up, baby doll?
Rachel got her story kind of wrong.
Hold on.
I did?
Stop the presses. Now that is news. That is news. The great Rachel Perry, who explained a few days ago that Chris Penn was either 40, 43, 41, or 42.
Potato, yeah. Potato.
All right.
I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Wow.
See? Yeah.
Now, let me tell you
reading.
Something.
Reading. I didn't say investigating.
This isn't CNN.
Wait, so tell me, what's the, this is an important story.
Yes,
we need to know.
Story?
The story is that there are bathrooms on the trains in China, but since it's the holiday season, they sell twice as many tickets as they have to, so everybody's crammed in the train and people are forced to actually stand in the bathroom to ride the train, so no one can get into the bathroom.
A technicality. The story.
But in a country as big as China, of course they will have bathrooms.
Yeah, the spirit of the story remains the same, which is people crapping themselves in China.
I feel like James Frey right now.
Yeah, on the spot.
Basically lying. Yeah. I'm about to jump off the wagon.
All right.
The news wagon.
In a diaper, is a diaper an adult diaper? I could see doing the number one in the adult diaper. Number two, that'd be a tougher sell for me. I mean, that feels like, you know what I mean?
Have you ever actually tried to pee your pants? Like,
yeah.
Really tried?
Yeah, I have.
Have you? Can you do it? It's hard. It's a mental block.
It was tough because a guy was filming it. I'm not proud of this, but, you know, it was the 80s, and I had to, you know, a buck was a buck, you know. I didn't think it'd ever end up on the internet.
Wouldn't that be weird
I was driving, I've probably done it a couple times. I was riding a motorcycle. I rode my motorcycle to Santa Barbara. And I got on the freeway in Los Angeles, and it started raining about 10 feet up the on-ramp, and then it began pouring, and it was teeming. It was driving rain, and it was at night. From L.A. to Santa Barbara, it was about 100 miles, hour 45, 2 hours on a motorcycle, but at night, and just completely sopped. I mean, jeans, everything. I was drenched, and at a certain point, I had to whiz, and I was going to die of hyperthermia, so I whizzed on myself just to, you know, warm myself up. It was kind of a nice sensation when you're freezing.
You feel like Ricky Martin in a shower.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, you've also been known to make pee into a sink so that you can look at yourself in the mirror while you do it, yes?
Yes.
What?
Yes. No, I am a multitasker. I have one of those A-type personalities. I will often shave and urinate, brush my teeth and urinate, pose down and urinate.
That's unsanitary.
I know. You know what? I'll tell you what. It seems unsanitary, but Dr. Drew told me that urine was sterile, and that's all I needed to hear. It's like telling
Would you use it to wash your hands?
In a pinch?
Like Purell?
In a pinch? If I was going to give you the magic finger, yes. I would sanitize it with my own urine. Thank you. All right, we need to take a break. Is Andy Dick here yet?
He's really close. I think he's in the lobby, actually. But if he's not here, we'll do something else. Play Eskis Rodeo or something. But I think he's seconds away.
All right. Andy Dick coming in. Also, Seth MacFarlane, Alex Borstein from The Family Guy. And we do have to get to some Eskis Rodeo. Perhaps some celebrity Eskis Rodeo if Andy Dick is coherent enough. Or if he literally thinks he gets to kiss some ass. Physically put his lips on Tukai. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
This is Danny Gould. Give Adam a call now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Andy Dick.
How are you?
In the studio. Good to see you, Andy.
Good to see you. I said hello to your old friend, Dr. Drew, last night.
Oh, did you do Loveline?
I called him.
Ah, oh, I had a little personally.
Yeah, I had an issue. You know, he's my unofficial doctor.
How you doing? Are you sober?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You seem sober.
Yeah, I am. But that's not what I was calling him. It was more of a sexual.
Oh, really?
It was of the sexual nature.
Yeah.
Go on.
What do you got going?
You guys aren't doctors. Are you doctors? Should I turn and cough?
One of your crabs got herpes? Is that what happened?
No.
I have itchy red welts on my buttock.
Yes.
That kind of sounded like me. Who was that?
I have itchy red welts on my buttock.
Who was that homosexual?
Is that you?
No, it wasn't.
Was it? I have itchy red welts on my buttock.
That is me. Was that from News Radio?
It's from News Radio, yeah.
God, that was 15 years ago. How did you dig that up? The DVD.
I'm a huge fan.
The amazing DVD. I love it. Thank you.
I spent the past weekend just watching them all with the commentary. Yeah.
That is awesome. And then you just pulled little sound bites.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a good producer.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for he's not a producer. But he's good.
Hi, bitch.
Oh, there he is still.
Hey, listen, I have, speaking of that, I've got some little slogans, because I like your slogans on the billboards, like, this is what a semester and a half sounds like.
Of junior college.
Of junior college.
Right.
Yeah, you can't leave that out.
Yeah.
And then here's some that I wrote, which that reminded me.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, you sweet little bitches.
Oh, that's nice.
They get better. Rise and shine, dumbass.
Put these on the billboard next to my picture.
Right, because I think you would say something like that, possibly. And then this one's kind of good. I love the smell of wise ass in the morning.
Oh, that's solid, too.
Right, that's good. Number four. Oh, I really like this one. The best one is not last, it's second to last.
Uh-huh.
I think this is it. I think, therefore I FM.
Oh, heavy. Heavy, FM, right? Yeah.
That's the winner. Oh, but then I have to just have so. Good FM in the AM.
That's okay.
Okay. Oh, cute. Oh. No. I say cute.
Yeah. That's cute. Yeah, it's precious.
Fun.
Cute.
Yeah. The range went from cute to brilliant.
The big fan gave you a buzzer on that one.
I know. Thank you.
Andy, what everyone is always interested in solving your riddle, especially sexually, but let's just talk about living arrangements because Andy's has one of the more or at least had one of the stranger living arrangements ever. He had an ex-wife. He has kids. They all live in the same place. Someone's below someone. Someone's above someone.
Yeah.
How's that going now?
Well, we've been out of that for 15 years.
No, it has not been 15 years.
It was during News Radio when I was seeing Alina.
Mm-hmm.
We had a kid and then my ex with my other child was living. They were living below us.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I had a duplex.
I'll tell you, for a white gay guy, you have a ton of kids. Has anyone ever told you that?
First of all, I'm not white.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. I'm not gay.
I'm sorry.
There is such a thing as this gray area.
Yes.
You know, that I believe everybody has a little bit of the old swish in the...
Yeah.
A little light in the loofers.
Yeah.
Do you, everybody, Adam?
Adam, no. Yes. Look how quickly he said no.
If it could help my career, yeah. But other than that, no. Okay. No, I'm a climber. But
if the shoe fits.
Well, I'm speaking not a of the gray area.
Climb right to the crotch.
As far as the gray area goes,
yes.
Maybe we can reach some sort of determination. Among the three of us, Adam, Rachel, myself, who would you most likely go towards?
Rachel.
Rachel.
No, that's a no-brainer. Rachel is absolutely beautiful. I don't know. You guys can't obviously see her. It's radio, but she,
well,
first of all, she put me down right when we came in. I came in, put the headphones on. She's like, you know, you don't need to wear the headphones yet. We're not on the air. It's like you're wearing a seatbelt in a parked car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
That's why you like her, because she was mean to you. That's
keep,
all.
Keep it down.
Rachel, by the way, saves her A material for off the air.
Yeah. I know. That's what I was trying to teach her. I said, look, I don't.
She's clean it up.
No, I know. No, but she's absolutely gorgeous. How old are you?
30.
Turned 30.
I just turned 40.
Wow.
So that's a good
look.
Good. That would be.
Well, let me ask.
She looks like she's in her early 20s.
Let me ask you this. Still a little old for Andy, by the way, but any port in a storm. Let me ask you this, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's always trying to kind of figure it out. And Rachel's beautiful and we may not be much to look at, but how would you break it down? Would you say
hairy. You guys 60, are all hairy.
60, 40 women to man, it's, 70, it's, 30?
It really depends on
case
the day.
Case by case.
Case by case, day by day.
Really?
Like it's like eating steak every day and then
you want to mix it up.
I want to have a little seafood salad this weekend.
Right. Or actually.
Toss somebody's salad.
Right. It's actually kielbasa.
No, wait. What is tossing somebody's salad, by the way? I thought that meant, butt with the, just like, buff, boofooing. I was trying to think.
It's horrible. We need to ask Oprah.
But it was it's a tongue.
Yes.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Come on.
And let me just say this argument if it goes on in the bedroom, if it's devious and Andy Dick doesn't know it, then it doesn't exist. That's what I say. It technically does not exist if you don't know what it is.
Kind of stupid.
You've probably done it 1,000 times. You just never called it anything.
No, I never.
No,
not your thing. I used to say I did because I thought it meant that I was just,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's
move forward.
No.
All right. So it's day by day,
Rachel.
Sexually, living situation is straightened out. Two kids.
I'm buying a house closer to my, not now I have three kids.
Oh, three
I'm
kids.
I'm buying a house closer to my two little kids now.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be with them.
How old is the oldest?
He's turning 18.
18?
Yeah, I know.
And what, how's he come out?
He's great. He's
really?
Smart,
mm-hmm.
Handsome. He's just better than me.
What is he up to?
Because he had a great mom.
Is he going to school?
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to go to college right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what he's going to do.
And how about his dad being Andy Dick? Do you think that has twisted him in any way?
I don't know. You should interview him about that.
I'd like to get to that.
Yeah.
And then the youngins, how old are the young ones?
8 and 11.
How often do you see everyone?
A lot. I just was at their open house at school last night. And it was, it really was.
It's got to be surreal.
Yeah, but it is surreal because they go to this really great school that is not cheap, and it's just awesome, though. And,
all right.
And what's that guy's name? Lou Adler. Like, people like Nikki Sixx.
Celebrity.
Arsenio Hall was videotaping my daughter the other, like, last month at the pageant or whatever. He borrowed my camera, and he's like,
yeah.
But it was this Halloween thing. I said, look at that guy. Because we all had to dress up at school at Halloween, because, it was a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my God, that guy came as Lou Adler. That's so cool. But it was Lou Adler.
Is he a big producer guy?
You know him because he sits next to Jack Nicholson at the Lakers game.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, I was courtside during
Kobe.
I'm the one that got him to do that.
Oh, really?
I was sitting right next to him. I'm not kidding.
To do what?
You were his muse.
He historically was like, I don't know.
Oh,
sports.
He was
a fan of Shaq in the sports.
I was screaming. I'm going, Kobe! because I was right. I could touch him. I have the pictures to prove it. I was right there.
Yeah.
I don't get any credit.
By the way, if he touched you back, imagine how big the ring would be. He'd have to buy his wife. You know what I mean? Think about it. She finds out you tossed Andy Dick salad. Oh, my God. Hope Diamond. All right. Let's take a break. Andy Dick, the great Andy Dick in studio. We'll talk with him. Talk a little more less than perfect and... Well, we got some projects coming up. We'll get to that, all that, after this.
This is James Lifestyle Tony, heavyweight champion of the world. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Chump. Can't argue with that. Great James. Lights out, Tony. James Tony, I saw fight at the Olympic Auditorium when he was 154 pounds. Now, James Tony is 225 pounds and still fighting and winning in the heavyweight division. That is something most folks couldn't do.
He's a man who constantly evolves, and what's good about this for the listener is that starting next week, he's signed on to be our relationship expert.
Right? Yes.
Right?
Yes. So be prepared for fireworks. We have a call for the great Andy Dick, who's in studio, by the way. Okay. Now, it's a good one. Ben? Okay.
Hey, what's going on? How what's say up? You, Adam?
I say yay. How say you, Ben?
I say yay. How say you, Andy?
Hey, yay. How say you? Right. Okay, I'll get on to it.
You'll get on to it. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, well, big fan, Andy. I've been watching his radio just since I got on DVD. It's been good.
Thanks.
Well. Look who it is. Hi, bitch.
There he is.
That was a clip from the... That wasn't me talking to you right now.
What about the MTV show? You mean The Assistant?
No, the other one, The Andy Dick Show.
The Andy Dick Show. The Andy Dick Show. Yeah, that was an awesome show.
Yeah, I love your impression of Tom York.
Oh, right. Nobody ever mentions that. Yeah, it was Win a Date with Tom York, and
it's just hilarious.
He's just all smacked out. The limo opens. The limo opens.
The limo. Wait, is he a like Radiohead?
Radiohead.
Yeah.
With the lazy eye.
And I made the eye go lazy, too. It was
yeah, you did a lot of good characters
there
in that show.
Fun thing. I can't believe he picked that out. No one has ever mentioned that. Thanks. I think that one's funny, too.
Was that on for one or two seasons?
Three for MTV. 20 episodes.
And
for them, that's about three.
Is it going to get released on DVD?
I don't, they don't care, and I don't own it, so
really?
It's Paramount and MTV and Viacom, but I did something kind of illegal, and I put all of them up on AndyDick.com. So you can watch most of them right now, and the rest are coming in the next few weeks. I just did that, by the way, so that's kind of a good question.
Andy, let me give you a little tip on doing illegal things.
Don't announce it to the world.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
It's so okay to do. It's not okay to announce.
Watch them today, because they're going to shut her down.
AndyDick.com, everybody.
Good stuff. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Benjamin.
All right, as Waldo has been waiting in the wings for quite a few minutes.
Who's Waldo? Where is Waldo?
Oswaldo is from Nicaragua. He is my carpenter buddy for many years and a huge Andy Dick fan.
Oh, hello.
Ozzy, big Andy Dick fan?
Oh, yeah. I see. I watch it in TV, man. It's very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like...
Kiss Rodeo.
International-ass Kiss Rodeo.
He's never seen it.
Come on, see if you can kiss Andy Dick's ass for just a second, Oswaldo. You know how to play Ass Kiss Rodeo?
For me?
Okay, yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Hit us, Waldo. Ask if he likes news radio.
Okay. Man, I enjoyed working on news radio. I think that was a really good show.
Oh, yeah? Very good.
Did it leave you cold?
Yeah. Working for MTV was a little strange, though. I did three shows in a row. I'm not sure which one I like the most.
I'm missing one at Tinsel.
What?
I don't know. Sorry. We're going to have to go over the transcript.
I think so.
We got to go over the transcript with an interpreter to get to the bottom of that.
God.
Taken out by technicality. What did you say there, Ozzy?
He said, I miss it when I think so.
You say I speak English.
Yeah. What did he say?
I miss it when I think so.
Oh, he thinks he missed that show.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I just heard the words.
Wow. Ozzy, doing good for a second, then got bucked off.
Are we going to keep going? I like it.
Yeah, let's try a couple more. See what we can do here. Come on, Ozzy, focus.
Kiss Rodeo.
Today, for lunch, I think I'm going to have a big omelet. Mm. I do that sometimes. I have breakfast for lunch.
Mm. Well, you think you do it for saving money?
No.
Ozzy. Hold on, Ozzy.
No, I do it.
Well, let me explain something, Ozzy. Don't
That's
ask
the
questions.
Exact opposite.
Yes.
Sounds like a rip.
Well, yeah.
One could argue that he was interested by asking what his motives for making the omelet were. But
right.
Oswaldo, Oswaldo, I'm the jefe, right?
Yeah.
Whatever I say is right,
the
correct?
Master.
The master. That's right. And when I say something, you don't argue with me, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
I know you do. But I mean, let's pretend you don't. You know what I mean? You agree with me because I'm the jefe. Well, Andy Dick is the jefe. Comprende?
All right.
All right, whatever. I'm the jefe, whatever he Holmes. Says, whatever he says is correct, the mundo, yes?
Okay.
All right, let's try one more time. Here we go.
Man, I still haven't seen that Narnia movie, which is weird. I should see it. Everybody says it's great. Narnia.
I thought to send to you, you know, it's not good. No.
It's not? Then I'm not going to go see it. You know what I still haven't seen is that Cinderella Man. It's winning all the awards. I want to see that. What is that about? A boxer, a female boxer or something like that. I should go see that, huh?
Cinderella Man, at least it's a female guy, you know.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Would you go see Brokeback Mountain with me?
What to... Okay. We'll take a hang together.
All right, Ozzy.
I set him up so good. He just couldn't
it was
Dave,
tough.
You should have played with me.
He
freaked out, but I would have really set you up.
Let me explain something to be fair to Oswaldo.
Mike.
Not in his Dave. Homeland of Nicaragua, he is a champion in Ask Kiss Radio. Ask Kiss Radio.
And then I suck at it. Yeah. Because
nobody can beat him in Ask Kiss Radio Nicaragua, but here, because of the language difference in the time and everything.
I mean, he speaks two languages. I only speak one, so you're better than me there.
Well, speaking of champs, we left off in the last break with talk of Mike Lynch stepping back up and playing with Andy Dick, kissing Andy Dick's ass.
Well, let me just wrap up with the great Oswaldo for just 1 second. We found a house for him to throw his 47th birthday party at. It would have been my house by default, but thankfully Mark from Encino was nice enough to step up and donate his home. Mark?
Yes.
Have you worked with Oswaldo? You have everything worked out?
I met with Oswaldo the other day, had a great conversation from what I understood.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think we've got it worked out, and he said he's going to bring some people over by today to set up, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. He's a delight, isn't he?
He's a great guy.
Cuter in person, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I just mean, Oswaldo's the kind of guy, you would let him watch your kids. You would you would trust Ozzy with your life.
I would trust Ozzy.
Yes.
Not with my life.
All right. You will never be good at Ask Kiss Rodeo if that's your attitude. All right. So,
you seem like an honest guy, though. And, I look forward to having a...
And thank you. You're doing the Lord's work.
Well, thank you. And also, Adam, I wanted to mention, this is a house that I put my blood, sweat, and tears into in renovating it. And I know that you've done the same with a number of homes.
Mm-hmm.
And would love to invite you to the party, too.
Oh, I'll be there.
Oh, good.
Oh, there's a 50-50 chance I'll be there. Yes.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, but you don't want me there because I'll make fun of the work you did yourself.
Have at it.
All right. I'm a snob. That's the last thing you want is me walking through your kitchen going, oh, you went with quarter round instead of base you. Interesting choice. Okay. All right, Ozzy.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. I'm glad he can't say Mark either. Say my name one time before you leave, Ozzy.
Alan.
All right. So it's Alan and Mark. All right. We'll see you there. Wait till he gets drunk Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
Speaks perfect English once he gets loaded.
Bye-bye. Thank
you. All right,
you.
Ozzy. All right. Andy Dick in studio. Less Than Perfect coming back on ABC in a couple of few. Also, a new movie coming out. Danny Rohn, first-time director. You produced that yourself. You paid for it yourself.
Yeah,
you wrote it yourself.
Yes, I did.
You starred in it yourself.
Yes, I did.
How's that process work?
It was long and hard.
Yes, but how? How?
Long and hard. Hello.
You know what that means, Adam. Don't pretend you don't.
It took 2 years for me to kind of put the script together, about 2 years. It's very autobiographical, so I kept living my life and saying, oh, I should put this in the movie. Actually, some things came up right towards the end where I put Maura Tierney from ER in it just at the last second. It's one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
What?
I show up naked, face down.
Yes.
Passed out on her lawn in the morning.
What was the budget for the film?
Let's call it ultra low budget.
All your own money?
Yeah, I really did put all my own money into it.
Really?
Because nobody wanted to step up.
Under 100 grand or over 100 grand?
I'm not going to say because I want to sell it for a lot of money. But I'll tell it looks like I spent millions on it.
Really?
But I didn't.
Really?
Yeah. And your friend's in it, Jimmy Kimmel, and I got Jack Black in it, and Ben Stiller, and James Vanderbeek. It's a really great,
funny.
Well,
that's all you have to do is spend a few bucks on a poster, say, you know, starring James Vanderbeek and Jack Black and Jimmy Kimmel, and you'll somebody sell will Ben buy Stiller, it. And you'll sell
I already had an offer, but from City Lights. They called and they just saw the trailer and they just did John Waters' last movie and they turned down Woody Allen's movie and they said we want to buy a sight unseen based on the trailer.
Do you hang out with Ben Stiller, by the way?
No, I mean we're friends, but more like acquaintances. I don't know if anybody really hangs out with him. Except his wife and kids, you know.
I don't trust those guys. I really don't. I know we always do that thing where it's like his family comes first and his wife is his best friend and everyone's talking in glowing terms about it. I don't like that. That means he's flawed.
But when we do hang out,
you get it on.
It's fun, you know. He came to my birthday party. Birthday party last month that was just ridiculous.
Did you throw for yourself?
No. Okay. No, I hate surprise. I hate it. And I could smell it coming. I'm like, come on. I always think I'm being punked. In fact, I thought this morning was going to be another punked.
Oh, really?
Because they tried to punk me once.
Adam Carolla has his own radio show? Yeah, right.
Oh, boy. Oh, what talk about effort. They put all these phony billboards up and advertisements on buses just to make Andy Dick believe that Adam Carolla actually had a morning show. Hey, Adam.
Yo.
How say you?
I say hey.
Okay. What's up?
Crap. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm driving a truck with one hand. So if I die, I love you.
All right. Thank you.
I wanted to say to Andy Dick, I watched the Andy Dick show. I remember, I liked the thing when right before they would go commercial, it was something like he was stealing candy from little kids and they would all swarm around them.
Yeah.
Little
black kids.
Yeah, little black kids. Because that's even more PC.
Or African-American.
My favorite skit he ever did was there was a late night show on MTV called Undressed, and you did a skit where you were the...
Humpiographer.
That's right, the dry hump coordinator.
The dry hump coordinator, yes. Yes, that is another one of my personal favorites, too. I got to hump on a bunch of extras that day. Yeah.
And
they were all gorgeous. They were all my exes. Those blonde, beautiful women. Yeah,
oh, yeah. It makes you angry how beautiful the women. Do people get angry? That was my reaction when I saw your blonde girlfriend.
She was in that humpiographer thing.
When you see Andy's girlfriend and girlfriends, you get angry at Andy.
He's charming and adorable and
she's hot as hell.
Well,
I'm dating somebody now. I found somebody.
Really?
She's so adorable.
Does she have
a
vagina?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
She has a mangina. No. It's a real woman. And she goes to school. She's still in college.
Oh, college.
She wants me to come, and I'm going to do it. She wants me to go and sleep with her in the dorms. And I'm going to do it.
You know, Andy, I'm guessing if they don't allow hot plates in the dorms, they don't allow Andy Dick in the dorms.
They don't allow
what I'm
hot
saying?
Dick in the...
Yeah.
Hot Andy Dick.
That's what you meant. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you like the young gals, right?
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah, who doesn't?
Let me... That's a good point.
Yeah, that's young. How is she, 19?
She's something like that, yeah. She's like 20 or something. I don't...
Yeah, he doesn't. But believe me...
But she's in a dorm.
Yeah, yeah.
With a roommate.
Nice.
A gospel-listening roommate. A Christian roommate.
So you're going to go sleep over with the roommate in the room?
Maybe, or we might have to wait for her not to be there.
Let me say this about Andy Dick, and I was just sort of thinking about physicality. As a guy, the worst thing you can be is overweight. If you're abnormally thin, it is much better than being overweight. You're like Frank Sinatra. I mean, and your stature really doesn't matter. Your size really doesn't matter. It's actually, you're better off almost being a dwarf than you are just being a big sort of lumberjack kind of guy. If you're a thin man and Andy Dick is thin and you get some stylish frames on your glasses and just wear a decent sweater or turtleneck, you'll get laid.
Yeah.
Be thin.
Maybe.
Pick out cool glasses and pick out, is that your phone?
Yeah.
And pick out cool shoes and you'll get some.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, look at you. It's working.
You got to make them laugh, too.
By the way, they were writing feverishly before because they were trying to prep Andy
on for Ask Us Rodeo. You want to do that?
Basically, they're giving Andy all these
I'm ready to go
weaknesses.
Now.
You ready to go? You're going to play with Mike Lynch?
Are you ready, Michael?
All right. Seth MacFarlane, Alex Borstein from The Family Guy, and American Dad are waiting in the wings. We'll bring them in, and hopefully Seth will read from Star Jones' book, and Alex as well. But first, a little Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Mike Lynch versus Andy Dick.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Hey, Mike. You know, my first feature film is premiering at the South by Southwest Festival in March.
That's fantastic, and I hope that everybody goes to see it, as they should.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I directed it myself.
Well, you should direct all, not just films, but all of our lives.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. Hey, I'm buying a house, I think, like in the valley, maybe near Topanga Canyon, something like that.
Absolutely, and they should give it to you for free?
Or I might get a condo in New York City.
You should have both, I believe.
Well, I don't know if I like L.A. I think I like L.A. more.
Well, I think you should run for mayor of L.A., and you should be able to walk into any home
you want.
You know
what? New York is cooler. It's hipper. I like it. It's more...
Well, then you should be president, and therefore you can tower over both cities.
Do you know the band Fish?
I love the band Fish.
I hate them.
Bunch of hippies. Kill them.
Pot-smoking freaks.
Send them to hell.
Yeah, but I'd like to hang out with them.
They'd be lucky to be in your presence. Yeah. I say, Andy, you put the perfect in less than perfect.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'm going to vomit. Yeah. That is awesome stuff.
Well done. It's no coincidence.
Winner.
No
fluke. It's still champion.
No fluke.
That's pretty good.
He's good. He just doesn't miss a beat. You know, he just starts talking right away.
Even his favorite band, he ripped his own favorite band that he lives
and
for.
He's still...
Yeah. It was tough.
Fish,
big
huh?
Fish. Big Fish fan.
Do you like the Grateful Dead?
Not as much as Fish, but yeah.
Yeah.
You like the Dave Matthews
unless you
fan?
Don't. Unless you.
No, we're not playing anymore.
Oh. All right. Andy Dick, everybody. Less than perfect.
Thank you.
Back on ABC.
It's always good to see you, Adam.
Danny Rohn, first time director. Go to andydick.com. Get all the information and the skinny guy with the cool glasses, Andy Dick. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll be right back with Seth MacFarlane and Alex Borstein from The Family Guy, American Dad, and many other projects. KUFO. I'm doing well, Seth. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Alex Borstein, who was due to accompany Seth into the studio, forgot and is calling in, but I'll not be taking her call. I'm wounded, and I say fe to her. How say you, Sheck?
Nay.
Nay, you say. Rachel, how say you?
Fe.
Fe, you say?
Fe.
Fe. Mike, how say you?
I say nay.
You say nay. I say fe. Okay, so Borstein, who's a dear, dear friend of mine, overslept, so she must be punished, and she's going to stay at home. But that's all right. We got the main man, Seth MacFarlane, in studio from American Dad and The Family Guy, and many interesting things to talk to Seth about. One is, how come I'm not doing more VO work as Death?
Oh, boy, this is so awkward.
Yeah.
This is so uncomfortable right
this
off the bat.
This is painful.
You know... We're working on that great classic Death story for season 6.
Mm-hmm. You
it's
are.
Coming. It's
you
coming.
Are.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
Just blowing it's gotta, sunshine.
No,
death
it's
skirt.
Gotta be the right. It's gotta be the right. Actually, you're on, I believe, not this Sunday, but the following show.
Because I've got to say, in terms, you know, when it comes to this business in of comedy, there are certain things that get you recognized or get you paid, and then there's the street cred. Things you do, you know, you could do a little voiceover work, make some money, or you could be on this show or that show. But Family Guy, that's street cred with the kids, the cool kids.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I got more nice and kind notices from doing the death role on the Family Guy than anything else I've ever done. Quite easily.
It's astonishing because I was. Such a the furthest thing from cool in high school that these kids are under that illusion now.
Well, it's weird when it comes. I'm guessing you were a nerd
mm-hmm.
because you do a lot of voices.
Absolutely.
And you play the piano. And anytime here's the whole thing. Here's how you can tell if a guy got laid by how many other things he can do other than hump.
Wow, that is so dead on.
Guys who just hump, that's all they do. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. When you get laid in high school, that becomes your job.
When you're not having sex, you have a vast skill set.
Oh yeah, like you show me guys like, oh, I play the bassoon. the oboe. I play the concerto piano. I speak five languages. Okay, you got to get laid. Because nobody does. You don't do both.
Yeah. A jack off of all trades. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like people who speak like six or seven languages. Come
Nothing.
On.
Nothing.
That takes, I know it's sexy, but come on. That takes a lot of time.
Yes. Yes. And there's a lot of pent up energy. And the guys who do a lot of voices. Now later, later, it's a sexual payday.
Yeah.
Hit
yeah.
with an avalanche of woman later on in life. But early, the sad days when the voices are being developed, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you pay your dues.
Yeah. And so Seth, I'm interested in the story. I think I know it. You worked at Hanna-Barbera, right?
Worked at Hanna-Barbera, yeah. It's my first job.
As an illustrator.
As, I started as a writer over there. Because I really, you know, my drawing was kind of lousy compared to the other,
How do you start as a writer at Hanna-Barbera?
Well, I had done a student film that was kind of a rough version of Family Guy, and I sent it out to them, and they responded to were the jokes, not necessarily the drawing. They said,
right.
Well, we got other people for that, but it's funny. So they,
I gotta tell you, the bar set pretty high over there with the Hair Bear Bunch and Grape Ape in their past. Yeah. I mean, you're never gonna do better than a huge ape that just keeps saying Grape Ape.
It's classy stuff.
Yeah,
geniuses. But the Funky Phantom is.
Yeah, you're not going to do better than that or Darkwing Duck or Hong Kong Fooey. I mean, let's face it, you'll never do better than those legendary ones where the bears with the afros.
Or my favorite, Fonz and the Happy Days Gang.
Yeah, you can't do better than that.
I think
but you can try. You can try, and that's where you,
the
you
Happy
have
Days
your own
cartoon.
Greatness.
The yes. Happy Days cartoon where they had the time machine and they could travel through time.
I like when they would do that where it wasn't good enough just to do an animated version of the Brady Bunch, you needed a macaw with a tail on it that worked like a helicopter who also had magical powers.
Yeah. Gilligan's Planet was another one. Remember that?
Yeah.
The island is not good enough for the cartoons.
No, we got to put it in outer space.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you started there as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But you did the, now you do or you don't do, but you conceived the illustrations for the Family Guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. What I did was, I did a series of sketches that were later, refined by, Peter Shin, our supervising director on the show, who kind of heads up the animation. Mm-hmm. And, I pitched the show to, Fox, and at the time, King of the Hill was just kind of picking up, and they were looking for some new animation, and they basically gave me about $50,000, which is about maybe a hundredth of
you get two frames
exactly. Yeah, you have to kind of stretch that. So
right.
I spent about 6 months, animating this pilot at home.
Again, not getting laid. Yes, because you cannot spend 6 months at home on a project
absolutely
when you're getting laid.
Absolutely not. You have to put on your little woolen penis cozy and just let it.
Yeah. So, yes. It's why guys who get laid, it's why it's no coincidence they're always stupid. The more the guy has sex, mm-hmm. the dumber he is. It's not the sex that makes him dumb.
Yep.
It's just you can let no other knowledge in when you have a boner. And it's
exactly
it's, you're with someone. Yes.
The douchebagginess gets to take over.
That's right. Still bitter. I like that.
Oh yeah.
Keeping
oh
your
yeah.
edge.
Oh god. Yeah.
I like that. I like the people that are perpetually mm-hmm. wounded and have an axe to grind that will never be sharp enough.
Gotta, that's
it
where you
never
lose
be
that,
sharp.
Adam. You lose the funny.
You do. You really do. That's it's like that's what happened. Poor Mike Tyson. He got rich. He bought a mansion. Mm-hmm. He lost the eye of the nerd.
That's what happened to Rocky Balboa?
That's
like
what
Clubber
happened.
Got him.
That's what happened. But not
only
Seth MacFarlane. Always hungry. Still hungry and angry. Bitter.
God.
Yeah. And he takes it out on his lady friends now. Yeah. They're good enough for you, huh?
I'm an incredibly abusive man. Incredibly abusive.
All right. You know what you need? I don't know. Every guy who didn't get any in high school and has an axe to grind is now successful and pent up sexually should get the uniform of his high school cheerleading team and force his new ladies. Put it on! I'm 44. Put it on! I don't think I could fit it. Put it on!
It's the only way there's going to be closure.
That's what you said last week.
You want this relationship to move forward.
Wow.
That's so specific.
Awesome. You do hear we come a-trucking in, and this time like you mean it. That would be good. I'll tell you, I know. It sounds sick. It sounds twisted. It sounds bizarre. But if every guy who just spent his high school year staring at the cheerleading squad and wondering what if, you should really just go back to the alma mater and purchase one. Get a small, medium, and large, you know, so you have some flexibility.
Pick her up some textbooks while you're at it.
Maybe that's
she,
right.
Maybe she does some algebra proofs.
So we're... And you do the whole thing. You get the school, you get the chair with the desk attached to it. Seth puts on the bad frames, the glasses with the bad frames, and the peachy folder with the Led Zeppelin doodled all over it. Comes walking in. So you think you're too good for me just because you're the captain of the cheerleading squad. Goes into a weird voice. She starts rubbing his thigh. His glasses start fogging up.
My God, you're a painter.
Well, I do voice illustrations. That's what I do. My mouth is my flip book. So. All right. Oh, good note to go out. Let's take a break. So many things to do with Seth MacFarlane. I want to hear the end of the story about how you went from rags to riches. Also, we got to read from the Star Jones book. Maybe Stewie.
Nice.
Maybe Papa. We'll figure it out. All that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Seth MacFarlane is in studio.
Hey.
From Family Guy and American Dad. 9:30 on Fox Sunday nights. He's going to be reading from the Star Jones book as either Peter Brian or Stewie. Or I say all of them, actually. Possibly Quagmire.
Yeah.
Also, we have an update from Jerron. Jerron is our intern. We did a little experiment, Seth. I think people are generally pretty good. And what we did yesterday is we took a wallet and we put $100 cash in it and we put our phone number on it. And we didn't say anything about radio or anything. It just said, if found, please call this number. And we had our intern go out and throw it out on the street in a couple busy places. And the phone rang moments later.
Really?
And asked how much money was in the wallet. I was expecting one of them to say, it's empty. But now it said there's $100 in the wallet, cash.
Wow.
And it looks like someone dropped it and they called the number.
Your confidence is justified.
Yes.
It seems.
Yeah. But the third time we've tried it, it didn't seem to work out as well. Jerron?
Yes.
Can you give us an update?
I'm still here. No luck with the wallet, but I'm getting a lot of weird looks, though.
All right. Can you go up? It's somebody who works at the restaurant.
All right.
Can you go up to the person and ask them?
How uncomfortable for Jerron.
Well, when you're an intern, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Jerron?
Yeah?
You want to hand them the phone and just ask them if they'll come on the radio?
Okay. One second.
Thank you. Or hand them the phone. I'll tell them we're on the radio.
Jerron.
What kind of wallet?
It's a gray wallet.
What kind of
wallet? Give him the phone, Jerron.
Hand him the phone, Jerron. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, what's your name?
Anna, what kind of wallet?
Anna, will you come on the radio with us, please? You're on the radio, Anna. We'll just put it that way. Anna, you found a wallet?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Shirley, who's this?
Hi, Shirley. I'm Adam from the
Adam
Carolla Radio Show. Have you heard of it?
Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're on the radio right now, if that's okay, Shirley.
Worst Abbott and Costello routine ever.
Yes. Shirley.
Yes.
All right. Now, did you find a wallet?
Yes, I did.
Did you look inside the wallet?
Yes, I did.
Did you see where it was clearly marked? If lost, if found, please call this phone number?
Yes.
Did you call the phone number?
No, honey. I haven't had time.
Well, what about the person who may be frantically, canceling credit cards and looking for their wallet?
They would have to be patient till I can get to the phone. I'm right. the canners. I'm the manager. I'm a cashier. And I'm really busy.
I understand. And I think if you pulled them aside and said, surely the manager at Cantor's has found your wallet, she'll call you in 3 hours, you would be fine. The problem is that 3 hours is spent. What's that?
It hasn't been 3 hours. It's been about an hour.
Well,
no, it's almost 3 hours.
Not according to our math. We had him drop it somewhere around 7 o'clock.
Explain it to 7 o'clock, but it wasn't brought to me.
Uh huh.
So understand?
It was. I see. It was another.
It was my busboy. He found it on the floor.
Uh huh.
But it was after he had swept the floor.
I see. And
see? And
you've had it for. So you've only had it for an hour.
I've had it since about 8:30, quarter to 9.
And if you lost your pocketbook and somebody found it, would you like them to sit on it for a few hours and then call you, or would you like them to call immediately?
As long as they call me within 24 hours, be fine with me.
Right. So even if you canceled all your credit cards and made all those arrangements, you'd be fine.
I would have done some research myself to find out where I was stupid enough to leave my wallet.
Now see this. Hold on a second, Shirley, because there's a problem here that a lot of people do that.
I don't have time. I'm trying to run a restaurant here.
Evidently,
okay?
You don't have time, my dear. How much is in the wallet?
Let me open it and check it.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ever who it belongs to needs to buy a new wallet.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. They do if you find it, yes.
Okay.
That's for sure.
No, $20, $40, $60.
All right.
And there's a get inspired 1 week pass.
All right. I would give you a crisp 20 out of that wallet had you called in a timely fashion. But you would have called during a break?
Oh, of course.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And there for 3 hours. I don't believe this woman.
All right, hand the phone back to Jerron and tell him to hang up on himself.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hang up on yourself, he said.
All right. What a delight. All right, well, I'll get...
People are evil, like I said.
Yeah. No, I believe... Here's what I believe. A little narcissistic, a little caught up in your own world, but I got to believe that Shirley would have called at the end of the day or the end of her shift to tell whoever. Well, why wasn't the money taken out of it?
I think she's going to pocket it later. I mean, she had that thing for 3 hours. Not her, the busboy, it apparently passed hands as well. So
yes.
Someone should have called.
There's a lot of apathy going on, which to me, if you witness a crime and you say nothing, you're just as bad as the person that's doing the crime. But this isn't exactly it. She's working the register. She's busy.
Right, so if
she throws it
to
the side.
We give the busboy a pass. We give the other woman who answered the phone a pass.
Here's what I say. The money was still in the wallet. If you had a black heart like Seth MacFarlane, if it was black as coal, you would pull the money out, throw the thing in the thing, and get on with your day. That's what you would do. She put it aside and left the money in it.
Yeah.
Ruska,
give yourself a pass out the door.
Please. Please do.
Go beat someone up.
All right. So, not immediate callback, but still, I believe you would have gotten your wallet back.
Ron's asking, should we get the money back?
In good time. Yes, get the money back, Ron. All right. Now, Seth MacFarlane is in studio, and we were talking about him reading a passage from the Star Jones book. What is the book, Shine?
It's, what do we got here? A physical, emotional, and spiritual journey to finding love is what it says on the cover.
All right. I am donning my adult diaper and prepared for you to read a passage. Would you like to start as Peter?
Why don't we start, I was reading over these. Why don't we start as Stewie?
Okay.
Yeah.
As Stewie.
Yeah.
I got to close my eyes.
Here
right.
we go. Everyone close your eyes, even if you're driving.
This is called Full Figured Versus Fat, written by Star Jones.
I hate confessions, but here we go. There's a difference between being full figured and being fat. Once I was full-figured, as I am now, just with less weight. But there came a time when I became fat, out of shape, sloppy, morbidly obese, and not Star. I lost myself when I gained all that weight, and I went from the confident, happy, full-figured girl I loved being,
Tries wearing bifocals.
To the insecure, unhappy, self-conscious fat girl I didn't want to be. How do you know when you've crossed the line? You know.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you.
Powerful, okay, powerful stuff.
Okay, you've marked another one here.
I would like you to get involved with the people on with books on cassette. And just wow. Entire books. I'm not just talking about biographies, I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about biblical texts, everything, manuals, everything. Stewie. It'll all be read as Stewie.
Reading to the blind.
Yes. You doing this one as Peter?
Sure, yeah. Let's do this one as Peter.
Oh, now everyone. All you young voiceover folks out there, note the range and the commitment.
Most of my girlfriends are Christian, and even those who aren't have a certain spirituality that sustains them through everything. We often talked about the dynamic of dating as adult women and having physical and emotional needs met during this time, but still wanting, and usually failing, to be obedient to God's word to have sex only within the context of marriage. It is true that at many given times, some of us had taken on short periods of celibacy. Maybe we were between boyfriends. Maybe we'd just gotten out of a crappy relationship and needed to take a break. Then there are some women who just can't be without a man. I don't know if it's physical or emotional. There are a whole lot of reasons.
Wow. The idea that she laughed at the end, just like Peter Griffin. I call it more than serendipity.
It's almost like even she's not taking this seriously.
Can you give us a last small shot as Quagmire?
Yes. Let's, here we go.
And thank you in advance.
Oh, you betcha.
If you really think about it, there should be defined stages to any relationship that's going to last beyond the running toward each other in slow motion phase. The wham, bam, let's fall into bed mentality was easy, but it wasn't working for most of us. Our relationships were shallow and the sex wasn't all that great. One night in Bible study, Pastor Bernard shared a heavy concept with the Bible study.
Pastor Bernard.
With the Bible study group that Al and I attended, and a light bulb went off in my head. Sexual intimacy ought to be earned, we learned. A relationship is better primed to last when friends, not strangers, fall into bed.
Diggity, diggity.
Diggity goo. Right.
Seth MacFarlane, everybody. God love you. And now he's got to go to work and do those voices for the next 12 hours.
Ugh.
Family Guy.
I think I really got something out of that, actually.
I have released that, something, that actually. You may have actually gotten something. I
that changed
something
me
go.
Just a little bit.
He is going to be found behind the camera, in front of the camera, next to the camera on The Family Guy and American Dad on Fox starting at 9 o'clock Sunday nights. Also, I want to thank Andy Dick for coming in, Less Than Perfect. Ozzy, the great Oswaldo. Do I really have to thank Oswaldo for getting in my house to throw his barbecue that's at this weekend? Right? Is there some book he's plugging?
I was waiting for you to say that.
Please. All right. Thank you, Seth.
Hey, my pleasure, Adam.
Come anytime because we're neighbors.
Gladly.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.